Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio.
Hey, Greg, can you hear everybody? Hold on, let me circle back and look at the topic of conversation. That would be a lot easier for me. The real war against the American people. You got to delve into the decades of nonsense that our political people that we've elected so many times. I don't even know if I'm still on the air. Yeah, they kept making bad decisions. And this is, ironically, the comedy that comes with democratic, like republic institutions is that we change our people out so often. And then you have people like Putin, people like Xi Jinping. You know, you have these people, these oligarchs actually run the show for a long period of time. Greg, feel free to chime in, my brother. If not, I'm going to go ahead and keep talking because this is nonsense. Problem that we have in the West is that are you good to go there, buddy? The problem that we have in the West is simply that we have failed to set term limits, not only on the elected politicians, but the people that support them behind the scenes. So you will have politicians serve, you know, two terms, but you'll have the person behind them that has worked in the industry for 40 years. You understand that? I'm just saying. That's something to look into. And yeah, term limits on term limits on term limits. Greg, please tell me that's you coming in. Guys, I'm sorry. No, I think the simplicity is everybody. Hey, Greg, if you want to shoot me a text, I can actually help you out with this. I used to be a podcaster on Block Talk Radio for like 3 years. So just saying, buddy, I can actually help you out with this. How you doing, folks? Greg has taken a minute to collect himself. We're having some technical difficulties.
Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force. No constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
Can't hear you, Greg. What's going on now?
How y'all doing, folks?
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. I'm really starting to love the Anti-Federalists. Number 9 was written under the pen name Montezuma. This is the most sarcastic, bitingly satirical, and insightful of all the papers I have investigated thus far. Montezuma correctly identifies and mocks the ruling class that would become the Congress under the Constitution. He later outlines all the problems with giving the federal government so much power compared to the Articles of Confederation, where every prediction of later abuse of power came true. I hate it when people are right and no one listens at the time. The best way to appreciate Montezuma is in his own words. He begins, "We, the aristocratic party of the United States, lamenting the many inconveniences to which the late Confederation subjected the well-born, the better kind of people, bringing them down to the level of the rabble and holding an utter detestation that frontispiece to every bill of rights, that all men are born equal, beg leave, for the purpose of drawing a line between such as we think were ordained to govern and such as were made to bear the weight of government without having any share in its administration, to subject to our friends in the first class for their inspection the following defense of our monarchical, aristocratical democracy." I think, since these papers originally appeared in newspapers, that the authors were paid by the word, because they all have a couple of paragraphs of mere nonsense in order to get to the good stuff near the end of the paper. So let's go there. Montezuma characterizes our future government under the Constitution thus: "We have frequently endeavored to effect in our respective states the happy discrimination which pervades this system, but finding we could not bring the states into it individually, we have determined and have taken pains to leave the legislature of each free and independent state, as they now call themselves, in such a situation that they will eventually be absorbed by our grand continental vortex, or dwindle into petty corporations and have power over little else than yoking hogs or determining the width of cartwheels." Montezuma is making the case that the states will be under the national, not federal, government. And guess what? They are. Montezuma goes on, speaking as he would if the Federalists were honest about what they were really doing with the Constitution. He writes, "We have so interwoven continental and state legislatures that they cannot exist separately, whereas we in truth only leave them the power of electing us, for what can a provincial legislature do when we possess the exclusive regulation of external and internal commerce, excise, duties, imposts, post offices, and roads when we and we alone have the power to wage war, make peace, coin money if we can get bullion, if not, borrow money, organize the militia, and call them forth to execute our decrees, and crush insurrections assisted by a noble body of veterans subject to our nod, which we have the power of raising and keeping even in the time of peace. What have we to fear from state legislatures or even from states when we are armed with such powers, with a president at our head? Regarding the new powers of the president, if the Constitution is ratified, he, in the same tone of voice, writes this. What have we to fear, armed with such powers, with a president at our head, who is captain, general of the army, navy, and militia of the United States, who can make and unmake treaties, appoint and commission ambassadors and other ministers, who can grant or refuse reprieves or pardons, who can make judges of the Supreme and other continental courts, in short, who will be the source, the fountain of honor, profit, and power, whose influence, like the rays of the sun, will diffuse itself far and wide, will exhale all democratical vapors, and break the clouds of popular insurrection. One of the most fascinating revelations from Montezuma is his prescient perception of future censorship of the press and the now total control of information, search engines, and social media by big tech and big media, doing all the work of censorship for the government, which has that inconvenient First Amendment in the way. Oh, it wouldn't be in the way for another 10 years after the Constitution was ratified because the Federalists didn't want a Bill of Rights. Montezuma says, we have for some time considered the freedom of the press as a great evil. It spreads information and begets a licentiousness in the people, which needs the rein more than the spur. Besides, a daring printer may expose the plans of government and lessen the consequence of our President and Senate. For these and many other reasons, we have said nothing with respect to the right of the people to speak and publish their sentiments, or about their palladiums of liberty and such stuff. We do not much like that sturdy privilege of the people, the right to demand the writ of habeas corpus. We have therefore reserved the power of refusing it in cases of rebellion, and you know, we are the judges of what is rebellion. For those who don't get the reference, the rein makes the horse stop, and the spur makes it go. In one of the best summations, tied to one of the best introductions I've ever read in any of these papers, Montezuma exemplifies the us versus them argument against the Constitution, where we the people are clearly us. Montezuma concludes with this. Impressed with the conviction that this Constitution is calculated to restrain the influence and power of the lower class, to draw that discrimination we have so long sought after, to secure to our friends privileges and offices which were not to be obtained under the former government, because they were in common to take the burden of legislation and attendance on public business off the commonalty, who will be much better able thereby to prosecute with effect their private business, to destroy that political 13-headed monster, the state sovereignties, to check the licentiousness of the people by making it dangerous to speak or publish daring or tumultuary sentiments, to enforce obedience to laws by a strong executive aided by military pensioners, and finally to promote the public and private interests of the better kind of people, we submit it to your judgment to take such measures for its adoption as you and your wisdom may think fit. This Anti-Federalist number 9 is so good, I would absolutely recommend reading the entire piece. I know this episode of Founding Moments has taken many moments, but if I didn't think it was worth it, I wouldn't have done it. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers, Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it.
All right, so it looks like I have to call into my own show. Let me boost my phone up a little bit. So I want to get my caller back on here. Let me see if I can figure out what happened. So I think I owe you an apology. I was talking to you before, 217 area code, and I didn't know you couldn't hear me. And so I'm listening. I said, why isn't this guy listening to me? I was trying to ask you your first name and where you were calling from, and let's kind of start over if we can. But apparently, I guess my signal wasn't going out for the first half hour of the show. And so I've already written
a great blog talk.
What's going on? Hey, Josh.
This is Josh, my friend.
Where are you calling from, Josh?
East Central Illinois. Now, me and Greg are homeboys, actually. I've called in several times. Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah. Why don't I have you on my list here?
He talks way faster than everybody should, and I appreciate
that.
Who
does? Oh.
Greg?
It looks like you're calling from a different number. That's okay. I'll put this number in here too.
No, I had to change my phone number the other day.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's why I didn't recognize you right away. Yeah, I've talked to you before. Anyway, so something happened earlier in the show, and my signal wasn't. I'm actually calling into my own show right now, which is kind of weird. But it didn't. I have no idea. It wasn't broadcasting. It should have. I mean, every indication was it was broadcasting. So let's start over again. So I can't believe I was talking for half an hour for nothing. Everybody missed the entire, first half hour of my show, which really makes me mad because I was talking about, the real war against American people is over oil. And that's where I kind of wanted to start. So anyway, what's your topic and what would you like to talk about? And let's start with that. And then I'll steer you towards, my topic, what I want to talk about. So where do you want to go?
Well, no, buddy. No, I was calling in entirely because of the topic of conversation that you had as your title for your show.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, they have like 9 different pipelines going through the Ukraine. They did the Nord Stream mm-hmm. pipeline when they cut off all that crap. And what was that? What was the thing that they cut off here in America, like the Canada pipeline?
Keystone. Yeah, the Keystone pipeline.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dude. Yeah, what the freaking hell? There is no way that you thought there was going to be a comfortable resolve when you cut off our capacity to actually have a sustainable energy source here on our homeland, on our own continent, and then you hand it off to another foreign power. And then you pulled out of Afghanistan like a monkey, and there was like you didn't think anything bad was going to happen. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Can you please walk me through that logic?
Well, and this is what I want to talk to you about. And actually, I don't think there is a logic. But as near as I can figure, the left hates freedom. And oil represents freedom. What I was saying before, while I didn't know I wasn't even broadcasting, is the fact that they want everything on electricity. Well, electricity comes from public utilities. Electricity is regulated. They have smart meters in homes now. And in California, if they don't want you using power, they simply shut it off. And so if they can control how much electricity you can have and they can ration it out, they can only make as much as they only have to make as much as they want to because they're rationing it out. And so that gives you, forces you to make decisions. Do you want to air condition your place? Do you want to heat your place? Do you want to keep your refrigerator going? Do you want to use your various electronic devices from computers to TVs to everything else? Or do you want to drive your car? If everything is electric, they can manage your entire life. And so oil, as much as they talk about greenhouse and gas, and we're going to talk about that and the carbon dioxide and, all this climate change nonsense, that's not really what I think is behind this. I think what's behind this is they have a fundamental anathema to freedom, and that unless everybody is controlled the way they want, they're not happy. They're miserable if we're free, when we're happy. So the only way to make them happy is to make us miserable. And the way they do that is they put everything under electric power, and then they take away that electricity. That's what I think is really going on.
Well, when they came out with Greta Thunberg or whatever, that Scandinavian young broad, she came out and she said, how dare you? How dare you? You have stolen my future. I am a child, and now she's older than 18, so now we can actually – make fun of her stupid ideas. But
she was only useful when she was 16. You know, but she's an obnoxious, snotty-nosed little, you know, I'm not going to listen to some bratty 16-year-old kid who doesn't know anything, who's never worked a day in her life, who comes from some, you know, rich Scandinavian family sitting up there in their lofty little perches. No. Let her go out and get a job, work for a living.
You know, AOC, I mean, did the same thing.
Yeah.
She was a bartender. She served people drinks. I'm not saying that she worked hard, but she did work. So, you know, give her
good.
A little bit of credence there.
Well, I don't know. When she was 16, she wasn't serving drinks, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
You know, maybe now. Maybe now she's serving drinks. She might need a real job now. I don't know. Anyway, so I got a whole series of articles here, but we can just kind of talk for a while. Normally I was hoping to have my drag race team here, but it looks like they couldn't make it this morning either. So I'll chat with them and see if we can actually, you know, continue with a report. I was really hoping to hear from them too. We have a husband and wife drag racing team, and I really wanted to talk to them about the fuel situation because they have specialized fuel and, you know, they burn all kinds of gas and, you know, they drive really fast.
What I do for a living?
Is being affected. I have no idea. What do you do?
I'm actually a freight dispatcher. I have to deduct fuel costs every time I contract a load. So a bunch of money is going to the truckers for their fuel costs. It doesn't matter what the price is. You have to give it to them, and then my commission is terrible now.
So as a freight dispatcher, you contract, people come to you with, say, I need this freight delivered, and then you find the truckers, or how does it work exactly? Do you work for a company or do you work for yourself?
Yeah, I work for a company right now. I'm actually about to start my own business because this is nonsensical. The way that people deal with this is nonsense. But no, I have 1,300 truckers available to me through 9 different companies at the moment. And
mm-hmm.
basically, you can go two ways about it. You can either find the freight and then find the trucker, or you talk to the trucker, which is what I do, and you find out where they want to go. We usually don't go west of Texas. No actual freight for them to deliver back home when they come. There's nothing for them to make money coming back. And, so this is actually terrible. The way that they're doing this right now, because I could send a trucker from St. Louis, Missouri, down to Houston, Texas, and that might be a $2,500 load, but there's $500 on fuel costs, which means that my commission is going to take a toll. Nobody's even talking about that. It's not even that, like, the truckers west of Texas, yes, God bless them. God bless them for going out there and working their butts off. But the people that make sure that those truckers have freight, that they actually have loads to pick up, yeah, those are the people that are actually suffering. Other than the truckers out west. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, everybody's suffering in a way because for the whole supply chain. We are a road-based, truck-based manufacturing supply country right now. You know, trains are great. For long haul, like grain and oil, you know, certain things get transported by train, but I still think most of the freight in this country goes by truck, and sooner or later the train traffic has to go by truck anyway because it's got to get those cars, those containers especially. You know, you look at container traffic, you know, so the ship sails in with containers. The containers are loaded onto trains and then they're loaded onto trucks, or they're loaded to trucks directly. That's our supply chain. All the goods and services, all the things that are built, made, whatever. I mean, I was watching hay bales on one of the videos, you know, coming out of a farm, you know, all on truck. I mean, everything goes by truck. And so that's to raise the price of fuel because they're obsessed with this global warming nonsense and the fact that they just don't want trucks. They want everything electric. You know, I'm curious how these electric trucks are going to work and how much power generation they're going to need. The same people that don't want, you know, you'd use either gasoline or diesel in your fuel tank for trucks and cars, the same people that don't want oil-fired, coal-fired, natural gas-fired power plants. Well, how do they think this economy is going to run without energy? Well, are we just going to have wind and solar? Is that it? That's not going to work.
Can I say something funny about those satellite-driven
electric vehicles.
Yeah,
that only works in the South where there is no snow, because their entire basis of navigation is following the lines. And when snow hits the ground, there are no more lines. And everything goes terrible. I mean, you gotta have some kind of sense of humor about this stuff.
I mean, electric cars don't work in the snow? Seriously? I've heard that, but I didn't know exactly why. Because they're based on the white lines of the road. That's how they guide. Or the yellow lines? Seriously?
Yeah, no, they go out of their way. They base it on the right sensor takes on the solid line on the right, and the sensor on the left is entirely based on, you know, the line on the left, like whether or not you can pass, whether or not that's a solid line, whatever. But in the snow, it means nothing. So if you're falling asleep at the wheel, because you've seen people in LA do this, they fall asleep and it doesn't mean anything, because they're like, oh, yeah. we're just gonna figure this out, you know, as we go. You know, I'll just fall asleep and I'll take a nap and I'll wake up when I get to my business meeting.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, three exits ago. Yeah. Well,
that's whatever.
This is actually kind of a funny topic, because the idea of these self-driving, so you're talking self-driving electric cars or just self-driving cars in general? You know, I've never thought they were a good idea. I always figured they'd come some kind of like a laser thing to keep distance from the car in front of you and behind you, and some kind of line guidance. I thought they'd be like a strip in the road or something like that, that some kind of computer would latch onto, some kind of magnetic strip or something. I didn't think they'd just literally follow the lines. It's kind of funny, because lines can be obscured for any number of reasons. But, yeah, you know. Oh, did we lose our caller? We lost our caller. Well, that's too bad. Where'd he go? Are we having all kinds of problems today? I don't know what is going on with Blog Talk. But, all right, so we'll hopefully get our caller back. As far as I know, I'm broadcasting. At least I hope so. And maybe Pianchi will call back in, and we'll check it out. All right, I started to read something. Actually, I had a bunch of things earlier. You know, I'm trying to figure out what's so bad about what comes out of the car exhaust. What is it about burning of petroleum that the left finds so objectionable? So I looked up, you know, the actual chemicals that come out your tailpipe, right? And I found this thing, MEC content. I think it's translated from a foreign language, because it's a little hard, you know, to read, just because the language is a bit bad. But this is what chemical comes out of a car exhaust. Again, slightly bad English. Oh, he's back again. So Josh is back. Let's bring him back on the air. Josh, did you get dropped, or is that you that did that? I'm trying to figure out whether we're having technical difficulties or something else is going on.
Oh, no.
Did you drop
your... nothing to do with me. I blame that entirely on you, my friend.
Okay, so it's dropping calls. And so if I find myself not on the air, I'll just call. See, the nice thing about this is at least I can call back in and do my show on my cell phone, which is kind of funny, actually, that I have to call into my own show. That tells you something's really wrong. All right. So let's go over what really comes out the car tailpipe, all right? And so I found these chemicals here. We got carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, water vapor, you know, oxygen, nitrogen monoxide, nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide, hydrocarbons, particulate matter, et cetera. And what I was explaining before is that hydrocarbons are very similar to carbohydrates. They're just slightly different form. Of course, you know, hydrocarbons can be poisonous, and carbohydrates, well, that's sugar. You know, so the same chemical combination, the same atomic structure, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, you know, C6H12O6, six carbon atoms, 12 hydrogen atoms, six oxygen atoms, that's glucose, that's sugar, that is a carbohydrate, you know, whereas a hydrocarbon is like a petroleum product. So the difference between sugar and oil isn't that great. It's kind of interesting that this is a natural product, and somehow the idea that carbon dioxide, which the plants breathe, is killing the earth, never made any sense to me. That's like saying oxygen is dangerous. You know, what would we breathe it? Well, yeah, but, you know, too much of it, and actually too much can be. But when you look at the actual stuff that comes out of car tailpipe, it's really not that bad. So why are they so obsessed with oil? Why do they want to go to a completely electric economy? Is it, as I contend, freedom? Josh, what do you think?
Well, I think if you actually get into the nitty-gritty of it, yeah, we should not be dependent. I don't know if you're familiar with Germany's dependence on Russian oil. Like, they said if they cut off Russian oil tomorrow, then 70% of Germany would just be screwed.
Well, let's talk about what's going on. You know, Brandon, the insurrection, the illegal occupant of the White House, has issued another illegal order. Every order he issues is illegal because he's not legally there. You know, he's still under an ongoing investigation, audit, and hopefully disqualification sometime soon by any one of seven states that sent Trump electors to Congress to be counted January 6th, which is where we still are chronologically, by the way. If anybody wants to know where we are in the election process, we are still at January 6, 2021, we can't even get to inauguration yet. That's where we are legally and constitutionally. If anybody wants to challenge me on that, go ahead, and I'll explain it. But that's where we are. So the fact that Brandon's cutting off, you know, Russian oil that we don't need anyway if we had our own oil production. So now he's begging Venezuela and Iran.
Yeah, they're trying to get crude oil from Venezuela after they cut off their ties with freaking Russia. Are you kidding me? This is not the way that as a civilized, like, dude, we're a civilized society.
Well, is oil a good thing or a bad thing? Or is it just
American oil? It's a terrible thing.
Well, think about this. If oil were a bad thing, then they wouldn't want to import it from anywhere. If oil is a good thing, then why can't we produce it here? Why is the only good oil that comes from other countries, especially other socialist and communist countries, or in case of Persia, you know, a theocracy. Why had to bring Persia into it? But what is it that goes to the leftist mind that somehow they think that oil from another country, or even our strategic petroleum reserve? I love when Biden goes into that illegally, as everything else he does.
No, I have a simple explanation.
And that's Trump's oil.
I like to simplify. Hold on, let me simplify. Self-deprecation, self-loathing. Yeah, you hate yourself. So you don't want anybody around you to succeed, anybody that waves the same banner that you live under. Yeah, I'm sorry, my friend. This is the simplicity
of it. No, don't be sorry. I think you're onto something. No, I love simple explanations. You know, I spend my life making simple explanations. When I write legislation, I make simple solutions to complex problems. You know, in fact, we'll just give you and everybody else a little bit of news. My friends, Bikers for Trump, presented the three bills that we talked about before the convoy. One, to get the Keystone Pipeline back. That's a bill that's already in Congress. And two, that I wrote. One, that completely eliminates big tech's ability to censor. And two, a bill that puts full product liability on vaccine manufacturers. Those bills have been hand-delivered to members of Congress. That happened yesterday. Still looking for the video clips. Still talking to my friends. And those bills are very simple. Anybody can go to writeyourlaws.com, WRITEYOURLAWS. That's what we do here. This is a citizen bill writing organization. This isn't just a radio show. The radio show is only part of it. This is where we talk about stuff. But the real work is citizen legislation. And we've got three people endorsing our bills now. Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, and now Jerome Bell, who's a candidate for Congress, have endorsed my vaccine product liability bill and my bill to end big tech censorship.
Should we start pressuring congressmen and state representatives to actually hop on that train? Because that's the only way that things are going to get done.
Well, that's what the bills are for. The bills are there on writeyourlaws.com. You go to the legislation section of the menu, go to legislation on the menu bar, and then scroll down to all proposed laws. And there, I think it's like if you have a computer, it's on the right side, like the second and third bill. If you're on a phone, it's like the third and fifth bill for vaccine product liability and ending big tech censorship. Those bills, you want to copy the links and send them directly to every member of Congress and every member of the Senate and every member of media. And everybody
can I do something real quick? No matter where you are, if you're an American, go ahead and look this up. Call your congressperson, the local person that actually dictates and votes in your name, And, yeah, make this a thing. Because, yeah, if you don't, they're going to do terrible things. And that's why everything is so awkward right now, especially down in Florida. Yes, sir.
Well, and thank you. I appreciate that because, I mean, I can write the bills. You know, I can have other people work with me and they can write the bills. But unless people share them, they're not going to go anywhere. Unless people share the show, it's not going to go anywhere. You just simply – and it's so simple. I don't order people around. I don't direct efforts. I'm not putting together, you know, convoys. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. But what you can do, and it's so simple, is you just go to the website, copy the link, and send an email. I mean, how long does that take? Everybody's got the technology already. It doesn't cost you anything. You've already got the computer. You know, you've already got the phone. You know, you're already listening to the show. So just copy the bills and send them in. It's literally that simple. And you know, Judy Mikovits is doing what she can. She's taken our press release on that and put it on her page. You know, so there's some people that are seriously starting to notice that citizen legislation is a real thing, that this is a viable way, you know, for us to have huge impacts on how we live our lives by writing the laws we consent to be governed by and giving them directly to Congress instead of getting all the bills from big tech and, you know, big pharma and all the special interests and big agriculture and ethanol and all that other kind of stuff. You know, we can do it ourselves. And that's why I started this.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the way to go. I ended up, I saw Madison Cawthorn, that kid in the wheelchair from like South Carolina or something.
Yeah,
I saw him. No, that's a good kid. Holy crap. He's like, if you're going to take our guns from us, you're going to have to take it out of cold dead hands. I was like, oh, my God. And I called his office in D.C., and I was like, I'm from Illinois. That kid should be president of everything at all times. Like, the way that he said that to Nancy Pelosi. Are you kidding me?
Well, he might make a good president. You know, he might very well make a good president. I'd be curious. Let's see how his career goes. Yeah.
Yeah, God bless him. And she was just like, tell me more. And I was like, oh, I did not expect a conversation to happen after giving him a compliment. And she's like, tell me more. I was like, well, he just told Nancy Pelosi to go F herself. And 20
and
different other people to go F themselves.
Look at the divide in Congress right now between the real, you know, the members that are actually for the American people. You know, the folks that came in after Trump, and look at the Mitch McConnells, the Geldings, the go-alongs, the Mike Pence traitors, you know, that kind of stuff. So you've got a real divide. You've got, you know, the good people, the Jim Jordan, you know, Devin Nunes, although I think he's going to regret leaving Congress. I always thought that was a stupid thing to do, to leave Congress to go run Trump Truth Social, because apparently he's not going anywhere right now. But the Devin Nunes, the Jim Jordans, Matt Gaetz, who seems to be coming back, he's kind of redeeming himself. That's my congressman. The Lauren Boberts, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Madison Cawthorns, you know, they're really a couple of senators, Holly, Cotton, Cruz, Rand Paul, you know, Jim Johnson. What's his first
name?
Man,
you're really diving deep into this list. I'm sorry, my friend. Go on.
Well, the point is that you've got some really good people there, but I would get rid of all the other Republicans because they're geldings. You know, the entire list of the go-along, get-along, rhino, gelding, you know, cabal that keeps Brandon in the White House, the ones that aren't objecting, the ones that aren't saying anything, the ones that aren't out there every day, you know, beating the drumbeat for disqualification.
You know what my problem is, though?
What's that?
The biggest problem I have is that the cornerstone, I'm sorry,
okay.
The cornerstone of being American is that don't trust politicians. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. And if you had a politician come out and say, yeah, we're full of crap, we lie, we manipulate things, dude, I would vote for that guy in like a minute. But this doesn't mean he's going to change his behavior. I'm just saying, it's a little bit weird to me that we keep – it doesn't matter who it is. You know, people are so easily corruptible. So all the people you just named and all the people that you didn't name, there are a bunch of people that have
they have this idea in their mind that they're going to make things better. And then they're introduced and threatened or coerced in a certain way. And then, you know, what do? We can't do anything. We're just citizens, you know?
No, we can't. No, that's not true. Yeah, we can do a lot. You know, we can form a more powerful block and a bigger lobbying group than any big pharma, big agriculture, big tech. We can form a bigger group than any of them by simply having citizens. And we proved that with the convoy. You know, the citizens of this country who turned out by the hundreds of thousands to watch this convoy go across the country, you know, there's still more of us than there are of them, whoever them is. And it's just a question of getting a little bit organizing, having people realize that they can send in bills, you know, directly to members of Congress and say, here, this is the law I want. It's written for them already, you know, and we do that on the show. That's our job here. You know, and anybody wants to comment and wants to be a part of the process, I welcome that. We don't do things in secret. We don't, you know, we don't make stuff up and then say, here, you know, everything is presented publicly and everybody has a choice whether they want to, you know, send them to Congress. But I happen to think our bills are really good. And I don't put anything on our website, writeyourlaws.com, unless I think it's really good or at least interesting or at least deserves some consideration. And that's why we have two categories. Citizen bill ideas are for the ideas that I think, oh, that's interesting. Let's work on it. And then the all proposed laws, those are the ones that are being submitted. Those are active bills going to Congress. And the two most active bills right now are on vaccine product liability, and because that will change everything. You know, you can write bills on the mandates. You can end the mandates. You know, they can start more mandates. But if you put liability on the vaccine manufacturers, I guarantee you those things will be off the market in seconds because they don't want to be sued for all the damages they're causing. The only reason those vaccines are there is because they know they can't be sued no matter how many people are injured or killed. And they don't care. They'll take the money. And so will big government health. So will Dr. Fauci and all the other folks. You put liability on that product, I guarantee you it'll be off the market and they'll come back with an actual, you know, safe or safer version of it right away.
Yeah, yes, sir. No, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. They mm-hmm. institutionalize and they have a blanket coverage over their actions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's no different than what's going on anywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
It's all the same thing, buddy.
And, so what do you think of the war on what do you think of the war on Americans by taking away our energy? What do these people hope to accomplish? Are they that deranged? Are they that greedy and selfish? Are they that ideological that they somehow think in their heads, if everybody just does what they say, the world will be a wonderful place? And it's a good thing that they're in charge. I mean, what is wrong with
this? Okay, hold on. Who is saying this? City folks?
Well, no, you've got the Brandon insurrection where the left is acting through, you know, like the AOCs and all these people that say we're all going to die of climate change. You know, unless we get rid of oil, that's nonsense.
Uh huh.
But what is it
you know
about
that you know
oil?
You know that the only people that support this are city folks. You don't have somebody in rural Montana be like, man, my carbon footprint is unbearable. I better spend $60,000 on some kind of freaking Tesla car. Like, get out of here, dude. No, this is all city people. This isn't actually people that produce anything. This is people that live in cities, and they have products that are produced outside of cities delivered to them. They don't actually work for anything. They say things, and they pass papers across our desk. These aren't actual people that mean anything in the production model. This means nothing, dude. These people are freaking – what do they call that, hubris?
Well, I was thinking more parasites, but I think you're on the right track with
hubris. No, parasites is actually fair.
Okay, good, yeah. But you think about that. Now, the rural folks could actually do a lot to the cities. See, the cities, you know, I wrote an article. So one of the first articles I wrote back in 2014 was about the creation of the American city-state. And so in California, when I was living there at the time, there were city-states. Like if you took the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, the nine counties of the Bay Area, there's about 10 million people. In all those nine counties, excuse me. And if you created a city state that was a self-governing, self-funding proposition, that'd be an entirely different thing. And the rural folks, see, the problem with like California, every taxpayer in California has to pay for San Francisco's BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit. So they all pay for the subway. Well, Well, that's insane. Why should people in Redding, California, up north, have to pay their taxes to San Francisco's transportation system? Why can't San Francisco support itself? And so I was thinking, if you had these isolated, the city-states became their own city-states, they could be self-governing, self-taxing, self-funding. They could tax as much as they wanted within the city-state. And, of course, if you wanted to bring goods and services in, you know, you could charge what you want. You could charge exorbitant rates, and away you go. They would actually – and they would be separate in terms of representation, too. They could have their own, you know, member of Congress if they had enough population. And then the other parts of the state, the rural – you know, and you know, less urban parts, they would have their representation too. You'd have one senator for the city states and one senator for the other part. Whereas in California right now, the cities basically control California. They control the whole state. Even though California is half Republican, it's just under half Republican, just over half Democrat. You'd never know it by the elected politicians because they're all the leftists. Well, the whole generation of power is Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, and Sacramento. That's the power base of California. And yet the rest of the state has to suffer under the leftists in those big cities. But if you isolated the cities and let the rural areas govern themselves, you'd have an entirely different system of government. And that might be very interesting. You'd have, you know, Republican rural areas and city-states, you know, falling apart. But I don't know why people don't charge more for the cities. You know, the truckers going to the cities should have a city surtax. Or, I mean, a city
That's not how that works.
Yeah, I know.
The person sending off the load is the one who dictates the price. You can negotiate with them if you're good at negotiation. After that, that's all between the dispatcher and the actual truck driver.
Yeah. Okay. And so are most deliveries to cities at some point, or is a lot of the farm deliveries are great.
No. This is something I learned because I actually changed careers to actually help the truckers. I went out of my way to actually help them. I was like, screw this.
Yeah,
screw this. I'm gonna be a dispatcher. I'm here to be support for the truckers. I'm just gonna help them. And then I got into it, and the entire thing is it's actually very mathematical because you're talking about taking person A from location A, and depending on whether it's a half load or a full load, you know, and my company doesn't usually send people past Texas from the east side of the country. So, okay. I mean, there's nothing sweet about this. I'm just saying, but man, the way that they're treating these people these days, especially with the gas prices rising, for no freaking reason, dude. All we have to do is open up that pipeline. And no, we wanted to open up that crap in Russia. And I'm just saying, I don't understand. Can you? I don't know. Maybe you have a different perspective on this.
That's why I'm doing the show today. You know, if anybody wants to type in live chat who has an explanation, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
Yeah, well. I think, quite honestly, that the left is obsessed with power and control. And everything they do is based on power and control. And they can control electricity. They can control electricity through these smart meters. They can meter how much power you have. They can send blackouts and brownouts wherever they want. You know, you look at California where they refuse to build more power plants because the environmental wackos won't let them. So if we go to an electric economy, you're going to need more power plants. Those power plants, you know, are powered by, you know, four things: oil, coal, you know, natural gas, and uranium. You don't see a lot of wind generating, you know, power. Wind is best generated at the local level. You know, put a windmill on your house. Solar, the same thing. They have these big solar farms. They bake birds when they fly by, you know, heating these little solar towers. What makes wind and solar work is not that you have big wind farms and big solar farms, is that everybody has a windmill and solar panels on the rooftop. That's actually the best use of it. I'm surprised houses don't come automatically with those things these days. You know, they should have come way for the last 30 years.
You know those wind farms that you see.
Yeah,
I'm from a little bit out west. I'm from the Middle East, the Middle East of America. No, I'm from the West. We have those wind farms.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. Each one of those turbines that they put up is like $400,000.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing, too, and I mentioned this in the first half hour when apparently I wasn't broadcasting. The tips of those blades are going about 200 miles an hour on the bigger windmills. That
you know what
birds.
That happens to the – yeah, I know. I had to work security at a wind farm for 13 hours.
Oh, wow.
Every shift was 13 hours, and I would literally have to escort people out there to pick up the dead birds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
you know,
there's a light there's a light on the turbine, and it draws them to it, and then they get chopped up. And I'm not even saying chopped up. They get knocked out, and then they – I don't know. But, no, everything was terrible. They killed birds.
Yeah, it's like a big giant fan in the air, you know, killing birds. Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Yes, sir.
You know, it'd be nice if they put a little screen around it. Of course, that might – you know, lower the
oh
wind.
Man!
No.
Oh, how dare you put $200 more dollars on that $400,000 thing?
Well, how much like, does it? I mean, how long does it take for it to pay for itself? How much electricity does one of those things have to generate?
It doesn't
before
actually
starting?
Reduce the amount. No, dude, I'm telling you, in Illinois, there are people
uh-huh.
literally placing signs in their yard saying, "Our governor sucks," because of this. They don't want to – because it destroys the entire landscape. It
right.
it doesn't actually serve a purpose. I mean, yeah, it would probably take about 30 or 40 years before that would actually produce a positive outcome. But I'm just saying that there's nothing positive about this. There's no way – dude, why don't we go nuclear? Why are we still walking away from that? What, Chernobyl, Fukushima?
Well, Fukushima is a result of a tsunami. The Fukushima.
Yeah, I know. All those no waves crashing into the middle of a country. Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, there's no Chernobyl anymore. We're actually smarter today.
Yeah. Well, how old was Fukushima? How old was that plant, do you know?
Well, that was like 40 years old before it actually went to shit.
Yeah,
I mean, no, look that up. No, don't. I hate that. No, don't quote me on that.
Well, no,
it was old.
Fukushima was a nuclear plant on the coastline, which I always think is a mistake. They do it because they want the cooling water. They want the cooling
towers. Nothing in Japan is not on the coastline because it's so – I'm just saying that was
a
terrible
– Well, that's probably true also. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, yeah, it's impossible – to not face some kind of terrible tsunami. You know, it's impossible not to face some terrible reaction from the world. I'm just saying, if you're doing it in mm-hmm. America, why not put it in Idaho? Why not put it in Montana?
Yeah.
Why not put like five
water.
Of them in North Dakota?
You need water. So you got to have a major river or some major source of water because they use up
holy
a lot of
crap,
water.
Holy crap, Wisconsin. There you go, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Wisconsin.
Plenty of water. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And it does warm up the water around. So you're going to have a place where you have to have enough, water disbursement so that the water temperature will gradually go back to the regular environmental temperature wherever you put it. So there are considerations, but they had a huge one on the Hudson River in New York, which is a great place for it. You got the Hudson River. It's not a, you know, it's a lot of water, you know, it's a whole lot of water. And I don't know how many fish are in that particular part of the Hudson River.
Do you know why it wasn't doing in New York?
Why they wouldn't have nuclear plants in New York? Because the people went crazy or what?
No. Do you know why I wouldn't do it in New York?
Well, they already have
many
one.
People.
I think they closed one down, but why wouldn't you do one in New York?
There are so many people, and they're already stupid. You know, don't – I mean – dude, build it entirely on the Mississippi River. Like, what's stopping anybody from doing this?
You know, we had nuclear plants in California. We had one in the middle of the state, Diablo something or other. I forgot what it is. And there was one down south of Monterey. You know, there's plenty. I mean, the nuclear plants, nobody, you know, people see them and they don't realize, oh, that is a nuclear plant. Yeah, that's it. You know, a whole bunch of containers.
Yeah, I know. No,
Clinton,
Illinois. I used to swim in that lake, and the closer you got to the nuclear power plant, the warmer the water got. So, yeah,
well, yeah.
I understand.
And that changes things. Warmer water doesn't hold as much oxygen. So there are valid reasons for making sure that the water temperature.
It was the cause of the warm water.
Of course it was. Well, because you know you got to understand it was boiling water when it was used to make electricity, when it was steam. Let me give you an article here. I want to get some information out. We got our regular folks. We got Chancey Terry joining us at the top of the hour, and then we've got Jeanette Reynolds with the new Reynolds Wrap. You know, and that'll be at the bottom of the next. But, it's going to get busy here. But I found something for the National Center for Public Policy Research, because the big bugaboo is carbon dioxide. You know, the Supreme Court, in their infinite stupidity, exceeded their authority in ways that they could not possibly have done, yet did anyway, and ruled carbon dioxide a pollutant, a naturally occurring atom that is essential for plants to breathe. They decided was a pollutant. And because of that, the EPA has been able to do horrendous regulations in terms of, well, we have to regulate carbon dioxide or we're all going to die. So I found this in the National Center for Public Policy Research, and this is Carbon Dioxide is Good for the Environment by John Carlisle. So just to give folks a little different perspective on this, you know, these sources are there. I mean, I just pull them off the Internet, right? Carbon dioxide is good for the environment. Let me resonate that with the leftists. Leftists, are you ready? Listen to this one more time. Carbon dioxide is good for the environment. That simple fact.
Are you telling me this gentleman is telling me to just stand on top of an active volcano and inhale deeply?
No, because you're not going to get carbon dioxide. You're going to get sulfur dioxide, monoxide, nitrogen monoxide. You're going to get a bunch of hydrogen.
Okay, I was about to be offended. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you, sir.
Okay. You get a lot of poisonous gas off a volcano. You get ash. You get everything else. You'll die. If you breathe in everything from a volcano, you're just going to drop dead. Don't do that. Besides, it's too hot anyway. So, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about carbon dioxide is good for the environment. Don't make me mute you. I'm going to get some reading done, then I'll let you jump back in here. But this is fascinating. It says that simple fact must be restated to counter the environmentalist baseless allegations that the accumulation of man-made carbon dioxide produced by cars, power plants, and other human activities is causing dangerous global warming. Indeed, far from being a poisonous gas that will wreak havoc on the planet's ecosystem, carbon dioxide is arguably the Earth's best friend in that trees, wheat, peanuts, flowers, cotton, and numerous other plants significantly benefit from increased levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide. So go ahead and drive your cars, folks. Put some of that carbon dioxide back in the air. Anyway, he's Dr. Craig Idso. This is Dr. Craig Idso, Dr. Craig Idso, of the Center for the Study of Carbon Dioxide and Global Change, one of the nation's leading carbon dioxide research centers, examined records of atmospheric carbon dioxide concentrations and air temperature over the last 250,000 years. So that's a quarter million years, folks. There were three dramatic episodes of global warming that occurred at the end of the last three ice ages. Interestingly, temperatures started to rise during those warming periods well before the atmospheric carbon dioxide started to increase. In fact, the carbon dioxide levels did not begin to rise until 400 to 1,000 years after the planet began to warm. So just to let you know, what that really means is, folks, is that the planet warms and then carbon dioxide increases, not the other way around. It's not that carbon dioxide increases and the planet warms. That's not how it works. Okay, and that's what this is. This is what these folks are talking about here. So the idea that increasing carbon dioxide is going to warm the planet is nonsense. It's the other way around. Carbon dioxide is increased when the planet warms. Okay, and so there must be something else going on. All right, so stop blaming your cars. So stop blaming oil. It's not the problem. The problem is leftism trying to take away your freedom. That's the problem. Back to Dr. Idso, who said clearly there is no way these real-world observations can be construed to even hint at the possibility that a significant increase in atmospheric carbon dioxide will necessarily lead to any global warming. Bet you didn't hear that on the news today. All right, Josh, let me get you a comment so far. What do you think? Make sense?
Yeah, right there with you, brother.
I shall continue. On the other hand, scientists have lots of evidence demonstrating that increased carbon dioxide levels lead to healthier plants. A team of scientists in Nevada conducted a five-year experiment in which they grew one group of ponderosa pine trees at the current carbon dioxide atmospheric level of about 360 parts per million and another group of pines at 700 parts per million. Okay, so twice as much. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The doubled carbon dioxide level increased tree height by 43% and diameter by 24%. Similarly, a team of scientists from Virginia Tech University reported that growing loblolly pine trees. I never heard of that, but apparently there are those. Loblolly pine trees in a greenhouse with a carbon dioxide concentration of 700 parts per million, increased average tree height 9%, diameter by 7%, needle biomass by 16%, and root biomass by 33%. And so here's the thing. What if we told the environmental wackos? I said, look, you wackos, we actually need to double. You want to feed the world? Here's how you feed the world. You double the concentration of carbon dioxide in the air. That would absolutely freak them out. So go ahead, drive your cars, put that carbon dioxide in, breathe out, you know, engage in things that promote carbon dioxide, because carbon dioxide creates plants, and plants create food. And so you want to help the world's population? You want a green Saudi Arabia? Not Saudi Arabia. Well, maybe Saudi Arabia too. If you want more green in Saudi Arabia, if you want more green in the Sahara, you want more green in the Australian desert, you know, and then the Gobi Desert and all the other big deserts, the deserts in Africa, you want more green, more carbon dioxide. It's that simple. Carbon dioxide is your friend. Back to the article. Increased atmospheric carbon dioxide doesn't just make a plant bigger. Carbon dioxide also makes plants more resistant to extreme weather conditions. In a study discussed in the journal Plant Ecology, a team of scientists subjected the Mojave Desert evergreen shrub to three different concentrations of carbon dioxide. The current level of 360 parts per million, and at 550 parts per million and 700 parts per million, the plants, which were being grown in simulated drought conditions, responded more favorably in the carbon dioxide-rich environments. Photosynthetic activity doubled in the 550 parts per million environment and tripled at 700 parts per million. Increased photosynthetic activity enables plants to withstand drought better. So photosynthesis, you guys all remember your earth science in junior high, okay? Sunshine, you know, plus chlorophyll in the plants, you know, creates, you know, plus carbon dioxide in the plant, plus oxygen in the plant, plus water vapor all combined together, and they create sugar, you know, glucose, C6H12O6, you know, with the activity of the sun reflecting with the chlorophyll in the plant. That's how it works. Photosynthesis, light creating food through plants. That's how it works. That's what keeps us alive, folks. Photosynthesis. All right. Thanks, Josh. I'll invite you at various times here. More carbon dioxide is a good thing. We can save the planet with carbon dioxide.
Yeah, that's one way to go.
Yeah. Let me conclude the article. It's just a couple more paragraphs. He says, likewise, a team of biologists grew seedlings of three yucca plants in cooler greenhouse environments at the 360 parts per million and 700 parts per million concentrations. The yucca plants exposed to the enhanced carbon dioxide concentration showed a greater resistance to the colder temperatures. Dr. Robert Balling, a climatologist at Arizona State University, notes that by making plants healthier and more resistant to extreme weather conditions, higher levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide expands the habitat of many plants, improves rangeland in semi-arid areas, and enhances agricultural productivity in arid areas. So those areas that are having trouble growing food, more carbon dioxide would naturally help them. We have here, next paragraph, another benefit of enhanced atmospheric carbon dioxide is that it helps the tropical rainforests. Okay, we all want the rainforest, right? That's where oxygen comes from. Got to save the rainforest? Okay, more carbon dioxide. Scientists from Venezuela and the United Kingdom grew several species of tropical trees and other plants in greenhouse conditions at carbon dioxide concentrations double the current level. The plants responded favorably, showing an increase in photosynthetic activity. The scientists concluded that in a future atmosphere with a higher carbon dioxide concentration, these species should be able to show a higher productivity than today. Another team of British and New Zealand researchers grew tropical trees for 119 days at elevated levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide. They found that the enriched carbon dioxide environment stimulated the tree's root growth by 23%, expanded root systems helped tropical trees by increasing their ability to absorb water and nutrients. Bigger trees increased resistance to bad weather. Okay, stronger palm trees in your hurricanes, folks, all right? Improved agricultural productivity and a boon to rainforests are just some of the many benefits that carbon dioxide bestows on the environment. With little evidence that carbon dioxide triggers dangerous global warming, but lots of evidence showing how carbon dioxide helps the environment, environmentalists should be extolling the virtues of this benign greenhouse gas. As John K. Carlisle, director for the National Center for Public Policy Research on Environmental Policy Task Force. So real environmentalists, not the fake pseudo ones that are trying to control everybody, but real environmentalists know that carbon dioxide is one of the most beneficial gases that we have, and the plants love it. I mean, you know, it's like human beings. You know, good food and exercise, breathing in more oxygen makes us grow bigger, and it makes us healthier. So it's logical to conclude the same way, that more carbon dioxide for plants makes stronger, healthier plants. That this 350 parts per million is pretty dangerously low. It really should be at least 700, probably even higher. And 700 parts per million is not a great concentration. You know, people don't realize that the concentration of carbon dioxide is less than 1% of all gas. Most of the gas out there is nitrogen. 72% nitrogen, 22% oxygen, and 1% pretty much everything else, of which part of that percent is carbon dioxide. You know, people don't realize that. So carbon dioxide, so these wacko environmentalists, the leftists, you know, we need carbon dioxide. We just do it.
Hey, Greg?
Yep.
Can I be the worst person that you would possibly ever call a friend?
You can try.
It's called yucca.
What's yucca? It's not called yucca? I mean, it's not called yucca.
Yeah, it's called yucca. Yeah, it's yucca.
Okay. But it's got two C's in it, so why is it not yucca? I think yucca sounds
Because
funnier.
It's Mexican. You came into this conversation knowing what was happening. Nothing makes sense anymore. No, it's yucca.
Yucca! Let me get my Hispanic reference. Let's get
make sure to write that down. Put the accents on it.
Well, listen, I know the difference between, like Gila Monster and Gila Monster. I mean, it's Gila. That one I get. But I've never heard yucca pronounced anything except yucca. It's got two C's in it. If it
I know,
one
it's yucca. That's a yucca plant. Yes, sir.
Yucca plant? Okay. Let me write that down. I'm going to ask Josie. Josie's my authority on all matters, Spanish, Hispanic, and everything else like that. Yucca.
Oh, man. Oh, crap.
What?
No, nothing. No, that's actually going to be really fun to be challenged on that.
Oh, no, listen. I mean,
no, yucca.
You're probably right. I mean, I'm not disputing you. I just think it's funny that I didn't.
Well, no. My whole thing is I know I'm right. No, it's okay.
No, I believe you. No, I do. I just like I say, I find it funny that I didn't know that because I'm usually pretty up on those things, on my pronunciations. Yucca. Okay, so all right. Well, thank you. I stand corrected. I still want to ask Joe.
No problem at all.
I think it'll be a funny story. All right. So carbon dioxide. We need more carbon dioxide. In fact, one of my friends, Gregory Wrightstone, has a coalition for CO2. Excuse me. And so it's really interesting. Another article on that if you want to talk more carbon dioxide. I'm going to peruse this one real quickly and see if there's anything different here. Yeah, it's basically the same stuff. All right. So we've got these wackos. Getting rid of our oil. Let me see if I can find something else here. Anything else I really want? I've kind of exhausted this topic. I want to get on my other guest. Maybe I'll play something else. I don't have time to play something else. I did have an interview. Usually on Mondays, I will do one of our classic WEBY interviews from my previous station. And I got this one with Kurt Schilling, but it takes 38 minutes, and that would be too long to play at this point. But I'm playing our WEBY classics on Mondays. But Monday, we had the most interesting guest. Josh, did you get a chance to listen to Dr. Roger Roots on Monday? I haven't had a chance to do that.
Didn't I make a comment to him?
You might have. You got to understand, I don't remember every word of every show. You know, I've done 3 years of this. And so, yeah, if you made a comment, then great. And I appreciate it. But, yeah. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I mean, like I say, I'm sure you called in. I don't remember it, but it's there. And I can't remember what I did the previous day a lot of times, just because once I'm done with the show, it goes out of my head, and then I start preparing for the next one. And so that's kind of how these things go. But the point of it is, you know, this is what I was hoping to – and that's actually been a very popular show. And I think that will continue to be a popular show. The reason I did that show specifically on Monday was to get the word to the truckers that if they want oil, if they want their fuel, if they want the price to come down, there is another solution to just trying to beg Brandon to try and get more oil. Ah, Josie just texted me. Your guess is correct. It's yucca. Okay, so there you go. Josie confirmed it. yeah, you guys are right. I think that's kind of funny myself. But all right, so now I'm going to call it yucca from now on. Ah, stand corrected. So how about agave? Am I pronouncing that correctly? He's not going to say. Well, we know Josh is there somewhere. His line's still live. Okay. Hopefully I get that right.
I'm not going to say. I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
No. Am I pronouncing agave correctly?
Agave?
Yeah. You know where tequila comes from?
I'm sorry. Is that some Mexican stuff?
Agave? Oh, you don't know agave? Obviously you don't drink tequila.
No, sir. Okay. Never mind.
Well, that's fine. In fact, I'm going to send Chansey a message, see if she wants to call in a little earlier. I should only play a couple things for you guys real quick. Let me divert for a second and see if I can get Chansey in a bit earlier, because I'm kind of done with what I wanted to talk about. I've covered the ground that I wanted to, and so we'll get to hopefully some other stuff. Be right back.
Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com.
This is Greg Penglis for Strikeforce, your source for pure energy. Strikeforce is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how. Add one pack to a standard half liter water bottle or 16 ounce glass to create a full power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strikeforce energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strikeforce, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. That's WYL. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at StrikeforceEnergy.com. That's StrikeforceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
There we go. Helps if I unmute myself. Get back on the air. So yeah, we should hear from Chansey at probably the usual time. And it's just doing messages. Again, hang on. Don't mind me, guys. Be right with you. Mm-hmm. There we go. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so yeah, so we've got the chance to join us in a little bit. We've got just a great show. I was also talking to my folks, my drag race team. We'll be back probably next week. Again, lots of stuff keeping them busy right now, but that is a show that I definitely want to do. So where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? Let me see if I can find something. Here we go. This is interesting. This is something that we haven't talked about yet. Where's my call? Let me put it back up here. Yep, good. I'm still in the air. Josh, are you there? Josh isn't there. Okay, I'll just do the show myself. No problem. I know I'm unmuted, so I should be going out here. All right, so this is something I found, too. This is another cause of mine, is the whole idea of ethanol. Ethanol in our gasoline. I see absolutely no reason for salad dressing to be in our gasoline. So corn oil is for, you know, the frying pan. You know, corn oil is for cooking. Corn oil is for all kinds of things. Corn oil is not to be mixed with gasoline and put in your gas tank. And I found something here.
What's can you tell me the difference? I'm sorry, I just chimed in.
Oh, that's okay. Difference between what?
Between ethanol and corn oil.
Well, yes, there's a difference. Ethanol is an alcohol derivative of corn. I'm just using that as a more sarcastic example. But the fact that
I know I have to give you crap because if nobody does, you're never going to have humility. Go on, bro.
Oh, true. Yeah. No, I got to stay humble. Yeah, no, I don't mind. Yeah. So anyway, but the point is that Archer Daniels Midland has constructed this subsidy for themselves to make something that's absolutely useless, yet paid billions of dollars a year for it, and forcing us to put salad dressing in our gas tanks, when in reality, pure gas would be so much better. We never used to run on this crap. You know, you look at all the classic cars, all the muscle cars, the GTOs, the Mustangs, the Corvettes. They didn't run on salad dressing gasoline. They ran on gasoline. You know, they have the most powerful, most fun cars ever built. In fact, cars today are absolutely downright boring. We've done shows on that too. I'm sick of the boring cars. They don't have color. They don't look interesting. They're all government specified. They're all, you know, somewhat aerodynamic. They all look exactly the same. They have the same standards, same equipment, same everything. They're downright boring. But the idea that we have to spend 10% of when I buy gasoline, 10% of it is salad dressing, is insane. And so I found something here. Oh, Jessie's online. Good. She can tell me about Yuka. But I found this in the website Mazda 3 Revolution. And you can get the full report, but the short version is that gasoline plus ethanol causes more environmental damage than gasoline alone. And this is from Gold Star, the person who put this in Mazda 3 Revolution, saying, in an era of ever-increasing governmental restrictions on motor vehicles, I thought this would be of interest to all automotive enthusiasts. And I bet you this is of interest to truckers as well. Josh, so I want your opinion on this too. It says environmental outcomes of the U.S. Renewable Fuel Standard, published in, we'll get a little bit of background noise on your line, Josh, so I want to watch that just a bit, but that's okay. Environmental outcomes of the U.S. Renewable Fuel Standard, published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America, details the reason for this assertion. According to the authors of the study, this is a new study, by the way. It says, more background. It says, even without considering likely international land use effects, we find that the production of corn-based ethanol in the United States has failed to meet the policy's own greenhouse gas emissions targets and negatively affected water quality in the area of land used for conservation and other ecosystem processes. They go on to state that we find the Renewable Fuel Standard, RFS, increased corn prices by 30%, and the prices of other crops by 20%, which in turn expanded U.S. corn cultivation by 8.7% and the total cropland by 2.4% in the years following policy enactment 2008 to 2016. These changes increased annual nationwide fertilizer use by 3 to 8%, increased water quality degradants by 3 to 5%, and caused enough domestic land use change emissions such that carbon intensity of corn ethanol produced under the RFS is no less than gasoline and likely at least 24% higher. Let me say that again. The carbon intensity of corn ethanol produced under the RFS is no less than gasoline and likely at least 24% higher. So ethanol is raising your carbon dioxide, folks, by 24%. It is more, you know, unless you like carbon dioxide, which I happen to do. I do, but I don't want it coming out of my ethanol. I don't want ethanol in my gas tank. But the thing is that ethanol is not making your air cleaner. Ethanol is not reducing carbon dioxide. Ethanol is a subsidy for Archer Daniels Midland so they can force Americans to buy their products by forcing at least 10% of it into the gasoline that we have to buy and making our cars run on salad dressing. Josie, welcome to the conversation.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, your guest needs to mute himself because it's a lot of noise back and forth. I don't know whatever he's doing. But all your guests, whenever they're not on the thing, they need to mute themselves like I do, and that way I can do my hair. I can do a lot of stuff. But anyway, yuca, we eat it. It's like potatoes for us. You boil it or you can fry it after you boil it. It's very popular in the Cuba community in Miami. And you can get yuca over here on 9th Avenue. Mr. Pollo is a Venezuelan small little restaurant. Very good food. It's like having food from Miami because there's barely anything in Pensacola except for Mexican food. Mr. Pollo, Mr. Chicken. Mm-hmm, very good. Yeah. They have black beans, rice, yuca, fried plantains, and a lot of desserts, Spanish. So we eat a little different than Mexican, so it's good. But, you know, Greg, on this gas issue that we have in America, this is all well organized by the Democrat, of course. The reason they're doing this is because you know how many people are sitting at home collecting employment checks. They don't want to go to work. I have at least 30 applications in my hand. I make appointments almost every day to see what happened. No one shows up. No one. Supposedly one girl is supposed to show up today for an interview. So the thing about the gas is now they're going to say, oh, it's too much money, the gas, for me to go to work. So this is an excuse to destroy the country about this gas prices. We don't have to be like this. We are independent. Like Donald Trump had us paying almost $2 per gallon. And this is criminal, and we need to get all these criminals out of office right now, which is Obama running the show. Yeah,
well,
this is an agenda.
I think those subsidies are over, aren't they?
No, they're still getting money. No, they're still sitting at home. I don't know what's going on. I think the trick is because, like I said, I've been setting up appointments with a lot of people, so they're showing. I still hear that noise from your friend. Mute yourself. Yeah, it's very loud. What they're doing is I give appointments and they don't show up. So they're showing the unemployment that they're making appointments and they're not getting the jobs. So this is corrupt. So I'm going to get all those applications and I'm going to go to the unemployment office with their names and I'm going to do it. I have to do it. And I'm going to put a complaint that this is a scam. And I'm collecting them. And I'm making an appointment. I'm writing everything down. And I'm going to go report all these lazy criminals. Because they're criminals, just like the government. It's not fair that I have to work till 10 o'clock at night many days because I'm overwhelmed with work. I'm very, very tired. Very tired. And many nights I have to come back, go eat, do something, and come back for 2 or 3 hours extra every day. That's not good. And these people are collecting, like nothing. It's not good.
Yeah.
Part of the agenda of the communists. I was just texting my cousin in Nicaragua because he don't have a job in Nicaragua. He's desperate for a job. And also, a lot of the companies here in America are desperate that they're hiring people from Colombia, from Mexico, from all over the world to answer the phone. I was talking to a girl from Mexico yesterday, AT&T. They're hiring everybody, she says, because Americans don't want to work, and that's what she was telling me yesterday.
Wow.
I was talking to AT&T. Yeah. So they're sourcing their jobs out, but I cannot do that because I have to physically be selling clothes, uniforms, you know. So I don't need somebody from another country, and I will not hire an illegal, period.
Yep.
I'd rather work hard than do that. I'm not doing that. But anyway.
So you can report people that that apply for a job and that turn it down. You can report them to the unemployment and say you have a job for them.
I'm
going to
take it. I never done it before, but I'm going to. I'm going to get all the applications in my hand. I have about probably at least more than 50 since July of last year. And then I stopped for 6 months. I said, I'm not going to be doing this. I'll work until Donald Trump gets back. But it's not happening yet. So I started again. I put another ad in Indeed, and so many applications daily, like you won't believe. But no one, there's application from nurses, beauty salon ladies looking for a job. There's a lady applying for the job that with so much skills in the medical field. Like she was a supervisor here, there, and I'm like, wow, that sounds good. One lady goes, I don't need the job. So why are you applying? Because they're taking advantage of the system. And this is sad because the American people are helping these criminals in charge right now to destroy this country. Because since a lot of chiropractors that I personally know, they're hiring all the illegals right now. And Wendy's and everybody's hiring you on the spot. What's going to happen is when these people they take their financial help out, you know, the unemployment money, they're going to lose their homes. They're going to lose their cars. This is part of the agenda of communists. They need to wake up and go to work. They really need to do. They think they're beating the system right now, but they're going to be sad later because they're not going to have jobs. The illegals are taking all the jobs here. It's crazy. All the hotels around the area in Pensacola, which I know some of the owners personally, they hire so many illegals. It is out of control. It is out of control. Yeah. So, and like I told you before, they're working with the agency, and the agency pays them, and the hotels pay this agency. So that way they don't show that they're illegal. See? So they beat the system all the time. And sometimes these agencies, they don't pay them, you know, because they know they're illegal and they cannot call the police. So the news camp right now, Greg, with the electricity, since Gulf Power sold to FPL, which FPL is a bunch of crooks, and I told them in their face the other
Florida
day.
Power and
Yeah. One of the refugees that we know, that he's been helping my husband, that he has refugee status and all that, they live in a little trailer where all the illegals are, which I know where they are. Everybody's electric bill is $500, even if you have a tiny little trailer. It's a scam, and they're doing it to these poor illegals. I mean, I feel sad because some of them, they cannot pay their bills. And I call, and I ask, what is going on? And they said, well, because they live in a little trailer, they're probably using the little heaters and all that. But from $160 going to $500, I mean, that is. And everybody's bill right now in that little area, Greg, it's $500. Mm-hmm. $500.
And they're doing it because they're illegals and they can get away with it? Because, you know, I mean, illegals can't complain because they're illegals. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly. That's what.
There's
what's
one
happening.
Side of me that says you shouldn't have come here illegally. Everybody that comes here illegally makes a choice
know.
To do so. You know?
I know,
now, do I want people treated unnecessarily cruelly because of that? No, I just want them to go home. You know.
Yeah.
And so I would do everything possible to seize their assets. But I'll tell you, the real assets I would seize would be those hotels and those hospitals and those organizations, those companies that are employing illegal aliens, those restaurants. They all I don't care if it's McDonald's, Wendy's, I don't care who they are. All those restaurants need to be seized and their property forfeit. For hiring illegal aliens. If you really want to stop
and you know,
illegal
Greg,
aliens, you got to seize the
and
company.
Greg, And Greg, I don't know if a lot of the hospitals, and you know, we have three hospitals in the area. I don't know if a lot of the hospitals are hiring doctors without citizenship, because there's a lot of doctors coming from Kenya, from Afghanistan, from India, from Colombia, because I make their lab coats. I can see who they are, and they barely speak English. And they're coming in to take the positions of all the doctors that they were told that they needed the shot, and the doctors left. And they said, I'm not getting the shot. So I've been making a lot of laughs with the weird names, and they have heavy accent. And I ask them, where are you from? You know, I start talking to them. And many are from India, Kenya. I had about three doctors from Kenya already. Yeah.
Have they taken the jab? Are they jab approved,
yeah,
as they say?
Yeah, they have taken the jab.
Yeah,
okay. They have taken the jab. Yes, yes. I had a doctor from – I'm sorry.
Where are the doctors going who are leaving these hospitals? Are they setting up their own private practices? You know, can I get vax-free medicine, for example? Can I go to a place where the medical staff does not have the snake oil jab, so I won't be around that environment?
I think a lot of doctors are going to private offices, and
okay.
Some of them are unemployed. That I know a few, they don't have a job. And Olive Baptist Church has a clinic, and a lot of the doctors without a job are volunteering at our church right now. So they're helping the community for people that don't have insurance. So it is a mess. And a lot of doctors were told at Sacred Heart that they can come back, and some of the doctors said, screw you, I'm not coming back. So I personally know one that he said, I'm not going back. I cannot work for people like that. And then we have another friend doctor that he's a specialist in the heart, cardiologist, and they retired him early, like, I don't know, about 10 years ago, because they were cheating so much. And the doctor, he's a Christian, he said, I can no longer do this. And they said, we're going to retire you early. So there's so much cheating and going in that freaking hospital.
Yeah.
So they retired him early, very early. So, yeah. So the he couldn't handle.
I was just going to say, you might be able to help with a question I've been wondering about for a while. It's like these 2 million illegals, where are they going? Where in the country are they going? And what is the impact of them? Because you can't bring in that many people over the course of a year and not have it be a huge impact. Now, I don't personally see these people. I don't see crowds of illegals gathering in the streets. I don't see crowds of illegals at various different jobs. I don't know who's illegal. I mean, I don't go to a lot of different places as far as fast food, certainly. And then the hotels, I can't say the hotel yet. Maybe someday, but not yet. And so I don't see these people, and I don't know where they are. But if you can tell me where like you're saying now, is where these folks are gravitating to. If the illegals are being helped by, like, the Catholic charities, the Lutheran charities, the Baptist charities, we need to look into these organizations more. I've been meaning to do that for a while. If they want to go, if they are being employed by hotels, we need to start asking the hotels, do you employ illegal aliens? We need to put them on camera.
Oh, they do.
And then I want that documentation. Then go ahead, lie to me. And then if we find evidence to the contrary, we can broadcast that too. That's what good investigative journalists do. It'd be nice to have our local TV stations actually doing that. I don't know what kind of fluffy, stupid things they're doing.
Are you kidding
me? That's
what
they should be doing. Yeah,
The local TV is not going to do that. You know how many times Channel 3 and Channel 10 has interviewed me when I go to the Trump rallies and all this stuff? And they record me on and on and on and on and on. And then when I say something about the illegals and I'm a legal Latina and all that, they don't show that. Are you kidding me? All these people are corrupt. The media is so corrupt. All of them.
Yep.
The only corrupt media is like some stations like yours and Charlie and all this, But the regular media are being paid for. Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Millions. And Glenn Beck has the evidence already about that. I have to find it. But no.
Well, that's
the illegals are everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, the media is definitely giving an agenda. And it's all a coordinated, we thought the Internet would give us more freedom. The Internet's actually more enslavement in many ways, because of the things that anything that can be put on the Internet can be removed from the Internet, as opposed to a book or a magazine. Once you have it published, it's yours. You can keep it. Let's go door to door and start collecting books and magazines, which various nations have done. Hey, listen, Chancey's on the line. I want to switch around a little bit.
Okay.
Let's explore this further of where the illegal aliens are going. and what they're doing. That would be a great thing for you to report on, especially on Tuesdays. And then maybe you and I should do some videoing and do a little some investigative work on camera. And let's see what we can do. All right, let's get the chance to eat.
I'll let you go, okay? So I have to go earn my dollar.
Okay, well, you have to go. I'm sticking around. I still have another hour of show to do.
I'll
you have a good
listening.
Day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Bye now.
What is health? What does it take to stay healthy? We have a longer lifespan than 100 years ago, but is the quality of life any better? 100 years ago, their food was better. They got more exercise. They weren't as fat. They didn't have preservatives, antidepressants, sugar in everything, and they didn't have vaccines. If you talk about alternative health care, people think of crystals, incense, strange candles, crystal balls, Ouija boards, notions, potions, lotions, and total hippies telling you to detox, man. So let's change our system of sick care into wellness. Let's get healthy. Let's lower our stress, stop taking in poisons, eat and drink organic, clean food, and let's have a chat with Chancey Terry, because this is Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday.
Yeah, so something happened to Blog Talk. I had to call into my own show, so I broadcast the first hour, not knowing I wasn't even broadcasting. And so Josh, I've been like yelling on the phone, going, "Who are you? What's going on?" And he doesn't even hear me. He said, "We got some technical difficulties." I thought he was just being obnoxious. You know, I didn't know that I wasn't broadcasting.
I was offended. Let him know that.
Well, no, I had no idea you couldn't hear me. So I apologize profusely. It's Blog Talk's fault. I've already emailed them. Hopefully they'll do something about it. But yeah, this is crazy what happened earlier. Anyway, glad to have you on, Chancey. What's
hey.
Happening? How can we,
good morning.
How do we get here? Good morning.
What'd you say last? What the last thing you said? How do we what?
No, I said how do we get healthier? We've got we're under political strain. You know, we're under a duress economy. We're under morons that are more interested in their ideological purity and their absurd vision. And I just proved that carbon dioxide is a good thing. You know, through several, I've got actually more articles, but the big one from the National Policy Center. And so
why are you making the Western world sound so positive? What's wrong with you?
Well, nothing wrong with the Western world. You know, I'm an eternal optimist. I don't care what people say. I mean, if I wasn't an optimist, I wouldn't do what I do with Action Radio. But but the whole idea of the leftists want to control everything. They want to control you know, your energy. They want to control the economy. And anything they control, they mess up because they're incompetent. Mm-hmm. They're total morons. And so we've got people totally stressing out. You know, the cost of fuel, if nothing else. And the weirdest part is there's no reason for any of it. This is all artificial stress that's been put on people, you know, and they're made to suffer. And people's lives are being stolen. And there's nothing wrong with driving a gasoline-powered vehicle. I actually proved that carbon dioxide is a good thing. And the chemicals that come out that, you know, they go into the environment just like everything else does. And the same stuff comes out of a volcano in much higher concentrations than all the cars put together.
Yep.
Yet,
are you telling me that I'm justified in driving my Humvee around at 12 miles per gallon?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that somebody was justifying my behavior.
Yeah, it is your choice. You're choosing to get to do whatever you want.
So I think wellness, part of wellness includes independence, mental wellness.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. They like to control that, too. It's the labeling on the supplements, the labeling on, you know, essential oils, the labeling on everything. Do not put this in your mouth. Do not apply this to your skin. Do not do this. Well, you know, some of them you can, and some of them it would be helpful if you did. But they don't want to do the studies, and they don't want people to know that they can take control of their health, because then they would be less reliant on them, just like with anything else. And so the only answer for that is to people to just wake up, and that you can't change it. You can maybe educate people as much as possible, but until they choose to start researching on their own, you're talking to a brick wall. So those are the clients that I don't really push myself on people who are asking a million questions, because those people, they're not ready yet. They need to ask those questions to the internet. They need to find their own answers like I did. And then we can talk. Like, if you, you know, not that I don't want to educate people, but like the ones, well, my doctor said, well, my doctor said, well, that's why you're, why are you asking me then? Do you ask your doctor a million questions when he prescribes you a new medicine? Probably not.
Yeah, but
you
they
take
go to the
it.
Doctor and say, well, Chancey said.
Yeah,
Chancey
exactly.
Said that.
Exactly.
I mean, wouldn't that be great? Has anybody done
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I know.
So, well, I told my doctor
yeah,
that
they
Chancey
have.
Said.
Oh, yeah,
really?
They
happened?
Did, and that's yeah, and that's what I told them. I said, you probably don't want to tell them that because they don't know who I am. Well, they get it makes it's either one way or the other. The person gets like embarrassed because they say, mm-hmm. "Well, who's Chancey and what kind of degree does she have?" And they don't know, so then they feel like they shouldn't believe me, or the client gets they laugh and they're like, "It's so funny. My doctor told me not to listen to you because you're not a doctor." But yet you've helped me so much more than they have. So I'm going to listen to you over them. You know, so it really, again, it's a brick wall. You've got to, they're going to figure it out themselves. You can't do it for them. So,
well, listen,
and like
I'm
I had
with you because
yeah.
I'm in that same boat. When people say, well, you're not a lawyer. How can you write legislation? I said, easy.
Exactly.
First of all, take a look at the 5,000 pages of BS that the lawyers come up with. And secondly, read
yeah.
my bill. You know,
mm-hmm.
if it makes sense to you, it doesn't matter whether I'm a lawyer
yeah.
or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can read law the same as anybody else. I can cite yep. legal. I can write down legal citations, you know, title, code, you know, section, and here's the old law, here's the new law. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
It doesn't take a brain surgeon to do what I do. It just doesn't.
No. Well, and then there it goes back to
done.
Labeling. Everybody feels like they have to have a label, and then unfortunately, some people who have a label, they don't even know everything under that label, and they're looked at like they do, so everybody believes them. Whereas someone else may have studied so much more and know more than them, but they just didn't, you know, go to school or they didn't, it might be from life experience, because that's a lot of mine and it's probably a lot of yours, life experience. And some people
well,
don't have it.
It's interesting. I used to go through Chinatown in San Francisco all the time because I was a tour guide. And one of my more interesting people that I used to talk to was this Chinese pharmacist. And he had
yeah.
drawers full of herbs and notions,
uh-huh.
potions, and things. And these are basically natural products. So, and
yeah.
they were prescribed by the Chinese doctors. And
uh-huh.
so whereas you go to a Western-style drugstore, you get everything packaged with labels, like you say.
Yep.
You know, and they have these little plastic bottles and little cotton inside. I don't know why they put the cotton inside, but they do. I guess that makes it look official. But why they wear white
yeah.
lab coats, too. You know, it's uh-huh. all part of the gimmick.
It makes
but anyway,
you think that you're getting something clean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So you pull your cotton mm-hmm. out and throw it away, or rather than keep it and make a shirt. I don't know. But you go to the Chinese doctor, and this guy in his best broken English, and he showed me the different drawers of the different herbs and different things of what they were used for, and the different teas and all these different things that he had. It was an entire pharmacy, and there wasn't a single
mm-hmm.
label on any of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
really. Oh,
exactly.
Except for some of the teas from
yeah.
Hong Kong. But he had drawers
yeah.
full of, you know, plants and herbs and things. That was his
mm-hmm.
that was his pharmacy. And so it's
right.
such a difference between a Chinese pharmacy, a Chinese medicine, you know, and a Western pharmacy.
Well,
and yet they're both
yeah.
pharmacies. So
yeah, and that's why they didn't
want?
Adapt it. Yeah.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you trust, you know, the Chinese guy with 7,000 years of medical history behind him, you know,
mm-hmm.
pulling out, you know, ginseng out of the drawer and saying, here, crush this up, take it, boil it, and drink it, and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese doctors are actually prescribing these herbs just as they are, right? Why is
yeah.
that somehow less valuable than a pharmaceutical company taking that same herb, crushing it up, putting it in some kind of pill form, screwing around with it, boiling it, cooking it, maybe taking most of the goodness out of it, and selling you back exactly the same thing for exactly the same reason when you can buy it directly from, you know, my friend in Chinatown in San Francisco,
yeah.
pulling it out of a drawer.
Yeah, yeah.
Why,
and that's why,
not,
because
yeah.
the money. It's all about the money. They've taught us early on that value is in money. So if it doesn't cost a lot, then there must be no value to it. So they just raise the prices on things that don't matter, and then we spend money on the things that don't matter, and the stuff that's free is what keeps us alive. Oxygen, water, like those kind of things that you could adapt and alter and go plant something in your yard that could cure your liver in 3 months. But so, yeah, again, no, I don't know if there's an answer to it because we're in America. So until – and that is where – people, I think maybe in the next 6 months to a year, will start figuring it out on their own when their doctor has, it's at their wit's end. Like, well, yeah, there's nothing else we can do for you. And that's the answer that they get. And then they maybe start researching on their own and try some things. And then the best customer is the one that it worked for. So that person uses it, and then they tell their friend that they used it and it helped them. It's amazing how my clients can get more people using a supplement than I can because they actually take it and it works. So then they tell someone, and then that someone wants it, you know. So it's just word of mouth.
There's like a hierarchy of trust. You know, we have the cult of the expert. So the doctor is trusted because they're an expert. Dr. Fascist is trusted by millions of people because he's a government expert. All right?
Yep.
Now, the fact that he's killed almost a million people, you know, by eliminating early treatment and pushing things that don't work, the remdesivir ventilator death march. Also, he can push his vaccine to make billions of dollars. You know, has sort of escaped most people notice. But the cult of the expert, the reliable source, and the one source that seems to be able to counter that is the friend or family member recommendation. And so, whereas you individually don't have, you know, the power of the media, of the recognition, of the cult of the expert like a Dr. Fascist does, when you're in the position to help people, the best ally you have is a friend or a family member who can then supersede the cult of the expert, because people still trust their friends and family when something works more than they trust the government expert. So that's a help, but it'd be nice if they trusted you to begin with based on your own track record of the people that you've helped.
Yeah. And that's what it is that you know that when you look at social media and you see all these ads and you see all these posts, you scroll past that pretty simply on your phone if you're just like, oh, whatever, it's just another paid-for ad. But if your friend Sarah posts a picture of some essential oils with her kid's rash and then the rash is gone or something, they're like, oh, wait, I know Sarah. I can talk to Sarah. Let me ask Sarah if it works. You know, and that's that's the good thing about word of mouth, you know. But just like with the Chinese doctor, some people look at that and they're like, well, it's not FDA cleared and it doesn't have a sanitation station. And what if he's touching it with his bare hands? And what if he gets a hair in there? Or what if it drops on the floor and he still puts it in my bottle? And it's like, have you ate out lately? Have you been to a restaurant lately? And so you're worried about what this dude over here is doing. And then you're eating somewhere where there's, but it's just that mindset of, they've told them if it's clinical, it works. And if it doesn't, it may not work. But the thing, and that was the thing that I studied a few days ago, I reiterated on cannabis, there has been zero death with marijuana. Like, you can't say that pretty much about anything. But we don't approve it, you know? So, and that goes to show you that it's not about health. It's not about, because somebody finally said that the other day, they were on my table and they were like, you know, they haven't even like attempted to ask us about other health options. And I'm like, finally, people are waking up. I'm like, they haven't asked you to go get your vitamin D tested. They haven't asked how much water you drink a day. Simple thing. But so everybody needs, that was where today's show was going to be, is that if you're not into CBD and you're not doing it, I don't know how I can educate, but it needs to be a part of your life. I don't care if your job tests for it, you need to be applying it topically. And if your job tests for that, you need a new job. So it's unharmful. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't have THC in it. It's actually more beneficial than probably anything that you could be doing right now for your cellular health, your heart health, your brain health, skin health, and everybody that I've been with. I don't even think they know how it works, because even that was the book that I was reading. They were like, there's so many studies that we still don't even know why it works, except for the fact that God gave us an endocannabinoid system and this plant has cannabinoids. So the cannabinoids talk to the endocannabinoids, which is a system in our body. It's like if we hear something, our ear hears it. And so like sound works with our ear. And so it's like that's how well cannabis works with our entire body. And so CBD goes in and it wipes the cells. It keeps the cells from attaching to things that are harmful. And it helps our endocannabinoid system continue to produce what it naturally does. Like, we naturally produce the equivalent of THC and CBD and all that. But due to toxins and chemical warfare, our bodies start using them a lot, and then we run out or we don't make it enough because we're sick or we're diseased or we're inflamed. And so when you supplement with CBD, it helps your endocannabinoid system repair itself. There's been thousands of studies on it repairing cancer, on it getting rid of seizures, and they don't care. Nobody, it's like, well, it works, but how can we benefit from it? So, and you just have to believe someone. That's the thing. You can't, you know, sometimes you can Google something and maybe truly find it, but I don't know. I fear that it's going to be, until they can legalize it, whatever, recreationally, I don't know when we'll hear anything about it. It's just like all the studies about the vaccines are just now coming out, and it's too late for a lot of people.
Well, that's part of the fascination for me over COVID, because we've been saying for 2 years that we don't need vaccines, that we have early treatments that work, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. We have boosters of your immune system, vitamin D3, vitamin C, and zinc. And we've known, this is, there's no secret to any of this. We've been saying it over and over. And these cultists that have been trying to block it out, simply the big pharma, big health, big tech cabal that are making a fortune off misery and death, you know, and now they're coming. I saw a recent article, masks don't work. You know, it's like, where were you 2 years ago? The masks have changed.
Yes.
You know, why'd you wait 2 years to say that? Why'd you put people through all this nonsense and mental stress? And why did you kill a million people almost? I don't know what the current 900,000 plus people have died for no reason. You know, and then, you know, the Civil War only killed 600,000. So this is a third war than the Civil War. You know, if this were a battle, they'd have a memorial in Washington already. All the people that died because of Dr. Fascist and Big Health. So the biggest war, this is the biggest war against the American people, is the war to deny early treatments and basically kill people, also they could scare enough other people into taking vaccines.
Right.
That's a medical holocaust. And they say they don't trust you or CBD.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the new wars will be. It will be people against people, because now that's why they're releasing the data. They're not ignorant. They're releasing it. So now either people, number one, get fearful and go back inside and think that the virus is still going to kill them because, oh, God, I took 4 vaccines and I can still get this thing that can kill me. So then they shut themselves down again. Or people get mad and then they get angry, and fear causes more stress and more sickness. And then they actually might get COVID or something there like it and think, oh, God, I'm going to die. And then they may, because the placebo effect is amazing. So it's a spiral again of enough people still aren't dead, which is, I released that article. I shared that article the other day, and it's about, they figured out how to make rats live longer. Like they found the gene, they found something to give them that will make rats have a longer lifespan. And I said that almost 6 months to a year ago when my client told me, she said, they have figured out how to give you longevity. And so in order to release that to the public and charge you for it, because everybody wants to live longer, they've got to kill some people, and there's got to be less people in the world. So now all of a sudden that article's out, and it's going to be looked at like, oh, well, that's crazy. That's just rats. And I'm like, no, this is what I was talking about. Now you're going to be able to go to a doc in a box or go somewhere eventually. It'll be probably 3-5 years. And get an injection that does your telomeres, lengthens them, gives you more mitochondria, and you're going to live longer. And that's going to be great. So some things like this lead to really good things sometimes. But we have to see that.
I love science and research, but the question is it being exploited so that certain people can get rich off the death of other people? That's where I have the objection. Yes. The whole COVID vaccine thing. The idea of killing people to make money by scaring other people, you know, is a medical holocaust. I mean, we talk about crimes against humanity. These people need to be charged with it. So I've heard about the telomeres, and I've heard about, you know, the mitochondria, and I know a little bit about it. I don't know enough to be able to talk about it. But what kind of chemical would do that? Is it a new drug?
No idea. My conspiracy mind tells me it's adrenochrome, and it's the adrenaline from an animal or a person. It's the blood from an animal or a person when they are in fight or flight. And I don't know if that can be proven or not, but it's like the thing that they did with the beagles where they put their head in boxes and blew cigarette smoke in their face and, like, tortured them and then drew their blood and then that's the thing. And so there's things like that that happen all the time, but you'd have to prove it, and I don't have time to prove it because I just know it. I've seen it. I've talked to people who know about it. And so they pull the blood from something like that, and the adrenaline or the adrenochrome, whatever the name of the actual thing is in the blood, keeps the person, like, regenerating its own cells. And so it's a conspiracy that nobody, they're like, well, that's crazy. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was like, Google cannibalism in California. People can stand on the corner in California and eat someone's leg. It's a real thing. And it's people that donate their bodies when they're dying to be killed in a certain way. And so, like, if they sign the papers and say, I want to be mauled by a bear, or I want to be shot by a bow and arrow, that is a thing. And it is legal, and you can do it in the state of California. And they can serve you that person's body because it was not murder. So you think it's crazy, but then when you know something like that is real, it's like, well, yeah, that's, you see these elite parties. If you've ever watched any, I mean, I don't watch the news anymore, but like Lady Gaga and Celine Dion, they'll have parties where they serve a cake in the shape of a body. And then when you cut it, it bleeds. And these are real things the elite do because it's a funny thing to them. They're like, dude, we've been doing this forever. Look at Cher. How is she that old? You know, there's things like that that you can't talk to many people about because they think you're crazy. And I really don't care if you think I'm crazy, but that's, those are things that happen right up under our noses.
Well, no, it's funny she said it because we did a report. Actually, Karen Hoffman, when she was doing our investigative work, did a whole study of adrenochrome. And this is what the problem was at Epstein's Island, was that they were taking, you know, blood from kids and making this adrenochrome. And here's the problem, though. We've got biochemical analysis. There's not a single chemical we can't synthesize. You know, any natural hormone-produced substance can be duplicated. You know, so the idea that you have to kill people or drain blood of people in a fight-or-flight mode, you know, when they're adrenaline, if you want to, I mean, synthesize adrenaline and then turn it into adrenochrome. You can do it in a lab, I'm sure. If you can engineer the vaccine for COVID, and then years later bring up the virus that seems to match it rather well, I mean, they can do anything they want. So the idea that they can't synthesize this stuff is crazy. And so there's a cult of the rich. The richest of the rich get basically insane and drunk on their own power.
Power.
And they think that somehow because they're multi-billionaires that this connotes wisdom and worldliness, and that they bestow some kind of natural ruling ability over people. And they convince themselves of their own propaganda, their own power, that they are somehow the good people. Because if they weren't the good people, they wouldn't be the billionaires. And they wouldn't have this power.
No.
So they must be the good people because they are the billionaires and they do have this power. So it becomes a self-perpetuating bubble that these people live in. And the excuse of adrenochrome and making all these chemicals and things that they're supposed to live forever because they're really not people anymore. At this point, they're really gods. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And so as gods, they are over us. The rules of society, the rules of the nations, the rules that govern human behavior, the laws that set us free don't apply to them. Because they make their own laws, you know, and they live in this rarefied, strange world. And the best thing we can do is make them shut the hell up. Keep them away.
Yeah.
Don't give them any power. You know, don't listen. Don't let them have any influence. And they can spend their money and they can do what they want. I mean, it's their money, you know. But the thing is, they should not be in a position to influence any government or have anywhere near the power they do. They just simply should not be listened to. And if they're keeping kids doing weird things like that, then arrest them. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
But don't fall into the cult. The cult of their personality, the cult of their natural ruler status because they are who they are. There's no magical wisdom that Bill Gates has other than the fact that he's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he has a brilliant thought at any ever.
That's exactly what, you know, we've been programmed to believe money is the root of all evil. If you're in the Christian world, money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. Well, have you ever been unhappy spending money sometimes, like on something you want? And so really it's not. It's the power that we've given it. And that's, we've said, oh, well, all these people who have money, they're evil, so it's the root of all evil, so I just can't be successful. So it stops the people who would probably be doing really good things from doing things for money because they've been taught that money is the root. Oh, don't do that for money. You don't want to do that for money. No, you should. The good people should be doing stuff. Yeah,
you should be
the good people.
Be virtuous. Be, you know.
Right. Be virtuous. Be successful. But again, it's programming. So the only way to unprogram yourself is to figure yourself out. And no one's sitting with themselves. No one is sitting down and saying, who is Chancey Terry and what do I want? They're just letting someone else tell them. And that's you can't fix that unless they want to fix it. And so we're in a battle against ourselves is really all we got. And, I mean, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Maybe more people will figure out that they're more powerful than they know and start
doing
something.
Well, that's what the show is all about, is to show people they're more powerful. I'm
one
person. You know, I started this whole thing, and now we have bills in Washington. We had a trucker convoy, you know, dispensing, handing bills that we wrote here on the show, you know, addressing members of Congress and the media. So don't tell me things can't be done. I know they can be done.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to correct you on one thing. Just as I learned today that it's not a yucca plant, it's actually a yucca plant, thanks to Josh and Josie who called in earlier. Money is not the root of all evil. That's not the quote. The Shakespeare quote, the biblical quote, the actual quote is, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Oh, yeah, it's the root of all evil. Well, that's what I'm saying. So the church takes it and twists it, and they take that away. Yeah, the like, just like you're supposed to fear God.
Right.
Yeah.
They said money is the root of all evil to make people feel bad about having it, except for the world.
Exactly. Yes.
The love
of money. So that you don't even know where the real quote is.
The driving ambition for money simply for its own sake, that is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
You look
well,
at
even
Dr.
that
Fashion,
quote is wrong because the love of something, love is an action, and you can, if I love money, I'm Chancey and I love money, I'm going to do it because I love people. So, yeah, I can still love money, and it's because I want to help people that I love. So they even turn the word love into something bad. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's what they want.
Right.
They want you to take these words and they want you to think about them and be like, oh God, I can't love anything. I have to fear everything. And if I fear it, then maybe it won't hurt me. And that's the same thing with the vaccines. It's the same thing with the virus. As long as you fear it, it won't hurt you. And that's BS.
Well, that's
kind
of weird.
I know.
So if you fear it, you know, your fear is your protection from it. Which is kind of backwards.
It's what they teach you. Yeah, it's completely backwards.
I need to think about that a minute. Hang on. Well, let me get back to, I don't believe in the saying the love of money is the root of all evil. I would say the obsession of money.
Yes, it's the obsession. Yes. And is it a good or bad obsession? And what is good or bad? I mean, you can get so philosophical about this. Like, what is an obsession? Are you obsessed with it because you want to literally build houses for the hungry? Well, then that's not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, but they don't let us have our words anymore. Our words, they create the meaning to the word, and then we're just supposed to go with that, when really, who created that meaning? Why can't it mean something to me just like it means something to you?
You're talking about fear that, what were you saying before, that fear is an essential, you know, that people think
fear,
that fear protects them. Explain that again.
Yes. Well, and I think because as long as they feel like they're fearful of it, that they won't allow it to hurt them. But if they release that fear and just see what happens, the unknown is scary to them. So they're like, well, as long as I keep it in the forefront of my mind and I'm scared of it, that's kind of like if you walk to your car at night and you're fearful that someone's going to mug you, you're at least looking for the mugger. So you are kind of helping yourself, except for really there was probably a least likely chance of you being mugged, so now you just put yourself into a fight or flight to be scared for no reason. So when you start realizing that fear is not helpful, you just love. The only other answer is love. So the opposite of fear, you love. So if you love others, you love yourself, you love your body, it starts working. That doesn't mean that you can't be scared of some things, like if a dog starts running at you to bite you, or if, you know, you've been told you have cancer. It's okay to have a little bit of fear, but then you need to get over it, and you need to move forward and get over the fear, which is really hard. But, I mean, that's what they programmed us to do. Fear, 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 fear.
So you
it's
find
called
people
fear
hang
porn.
On to their fears way longer. Or they're actually very comfortable hanging on to their fears because they fear that as long as they're afraid of COVID and they're actively you know, doing whatever they think they should be doing to get COVID, they'll never get COVID. Yeah. And there's no rational basis for that because the
no
more
rational.
People are doing for vaccines, the more crap, the more snake oil they take into their body, the weaker their immune system, the greater chance of getting COVID. I'm wondering if I got this cold. coffin for a couple of weeks. I mean, my thinking now, I've probably been around too many vaccinated people who are shedding spike protein.
And that was me.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah,
I started massaging, when I started massaging and touching people who had been vaccinated and who had it, it was a bad deal. And then eventually your immune system fights it or it doesn't, and you get it or you don't. And so it sucks to say that to some people who their family members have died. It's like, there's some things you can do, but there's really the things that they're telling you to do. They're kind of giving you too much control. That's also a backwards version of it. It's like, let's tell them that they can do all of these things to keep themselves safe. So then they feel when you feel like you're in control and you're really not. Yeah.
Huh.
But anyway, that was fun. I hope it went somewhere.
Yeah,
it needed
great,
to.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent discussion as always. You know, I love your reports. We don't really have a title or a theme. We just kind of start talking.
Yeah,
and
I like
we
it.
Go, I think we get in what you meant to talk about, as far as I know. At least I hope so. But, yeah.
Well,
let's get to contact, though.
Yeah, well, and I thank you for having me on. And people can find me at chanceyterry.com. It's Chance with two E's, T-E-R-R-Y. And I have two locations, one in Pace, one in Gulf Breeze. And I basically just try to help you feel better and be better and do better. So if anybody has any questions about cannabis, I help them learn their laws here in Florida and all that, and just different things. So I'm happy to help.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thank
let's get
you,
out
Greg.
Of here and,
yeah, I appreciate it. Y'all
right.
Have a good morning.
Another great
day. Bye-bye. Yes, sir.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And so at this point, it's funny because Jeanette Reynolds called in yesterday or a day early, and I was hoping she'd be on the line right now so we could kind of go directly to her. I don't hear her at this particular point. I think I'll bring Josh back in just for a second, and then I'll see if I can find something else interesting article-wise or other stuff to talk about. So let's get Josh. But like I said, we still get a little bit of background line noise in your line sometimes, but for the most part, it's pretty good now. So. Our wine, weed, and wellness reporter. Have you heard of Chancey before?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay. Opinions one way or another, or no?
Well, no, I mean, I don't completely understand the point. I mean,
okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Call me jaded these days. I don't understand the point of a lot of the conversations I'm having.
In terms of what?
Lean me back on the couch and let me swoon. No, I'm just, dude, I don't understand. Like, dude, we're on the brink of World War III. I don't understand a lot of the conversations we're having these days.
Well, are we on the brink of World War III? Let's talk about that.
You want me to go to the history of the Ukraine and Russia?
No, this is the most over-propagandized, crazy situation I've ever seen. I mean, Russia and Ukraine have been disputed land.
Hold on. Listen, though. World War One started 1 month after Franz Ferdinand, the Archbishop of
Archduke of Austria.
Look at you. Yeah, but that World War One started one month after that.
I didn't know Yuka, but I know a little bit about world history, so yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't start until 1 month after he was assassinated.
Uh-huh.
Here we are today.
And there was no reason for it. There was no reason whatsoever.
There was no reason for a Serbian to kill the Archduke of Serbia. I'm sorry, Serbia. Yeah, there was no reason for any of this, that crap to happen. There was no reason for the Treaty of Versailles to completely crap on the Germans. There was no reason for what's happening right now. Yeah.
You know, you're
in the third.
Yeah, you raise a good point with the Treaty of Versailles. I've always felt that was one of the greatest disasters ever. That this somehow this Western European, idea that we have to win.
You cannot.
We have to punish
Germany. This is the problem with the Western world is that you have to treat people that you are against with respect, or they're going to end up coming back at you with a vengeance. And we're not treating the people that we are against with respect right now. I'm sorry, sir. Go on.
Well, that's okay. No, I'm just thinking that the whole idea of trying to create NATO nations out of the Warsaw Pact, the Eastern European countries, rather than just leaving them alone, just keeping NATO as it was a huge mistake. Germany, punishing Germany, gave rise to Hitler. I mean, the Treaty of Versailles destroyed the German economy, destroyed the German military, destroyed any sense of national pride.
What did Germany do recently? They're like 70% dependent on Russian oil. Like, dude,
yeah.
This entire UN thing is nonsense because Germany, they took up the highest power of the UN, right? They are actually doing the Nazi stuff, but diplomatically on paper instead of actually killing people, which is what they did in the 30s and 40s. Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, dude, it's the same thing. And now they're completely dependent on Russian oil. So,
well, that's their fault.
Know,
that was their stupidity.
Ow.
Just as stupidity. Yeah,
yes, sir.
To have,
yes, sir. That's absolutely their fault.
Cut off our oil. I mean, the idea that,
yeah.
that our politicians on both parties are letting Brandon cut off our oil, they all need to be taken out and given a little chat. And the little
yes.
chat is, you know, don't fix things, we're going to kick you out of office. Let me read something.
I'm not going to say that we should build a diving board over an active volcano and just, like, freaking start, like, marching politicians over it. That's up to everybody else. But I'm just saying
yeah.
that would actually be justified at this point. This is nonsense.
Yeah.
There's no way that this happens with responsible
yeah.
people in charge.
Well, they're not responsible. That's the thing. You've got a coup in charge. You've got morons in charge. You've got an idiocracy. You've got the nation's stupidest people in the most powerful positions in our country's government, none of which is justified, none of which is legal, because it's an illegal administration. It's an illegal government, and everything stems from that. And the people that are trying to operate against, you know, the illegal government by saying, well, we'll beat them in the election next time, we'll do this other stuff, it's total nonsense. They don't realize the extent of the problem. They don't realize they are the problem by accepting the coup. That's the greatest evil right now, is accepting this coup and proceeding along like it's somehow normal. Anyway, I found an article yesterday. I didn't get the chance to finish it. I want to do this now. We've got about 26, 27 minutes, actually 23 minutes left in the show. And I'm curious to your reaction to this. So this is from an article. Let's just scroll back up to the top here. This is one you can't post on Facebook because it's good. And it's from, it's called, let me see, what's the website here? Market Subset, The Right News, R-A-G-H-T, The Right News. And so it's called How the Ukraine Conflict is Designed to Benefit Globalists. So let me come down a little bit further here and get to this one section I wanted to read. Here we go. We've got a quote from Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, the people that think they want to run the world. He says, what we are, this is from 2009. So just to give you an idea of where they were and where they wanted to go with COVID. He says, what we are experiencing is the birth of a new era, a wake-up call to overhaul our institutions, our systems, and above all, our thinking, and to adjust our attitudes and values to the needs of a world which rightly expects a much higher degree of responsibility and accountability. If we recognize this crisis as being really transformational, this is back 2008, I'm talking about 2008, right? If we recognize this crisis as being really transformational, we can lay the fundaments for a more stable, more sustainable, and even more prosperous world, yeah, according to him. And so the article, Klaus Schwab on the Global Redesign Initiative 2019. So the Global Reset was 2020. 2009 was the Global Redesign. And so it's the same crap. They just keep bringing it back over and over again. And so what the article said was Schwab jumped the gun back then, just as he jumped the gun in 2020 when he declared the Great Reset an inevitability in the face of COVID. The globalists must have expected a much higher death rate from the virus because they were practically dancing in the streets, elated over the amount of power they could steal in the name of, quote, protecting the public from a global health threat. If you look at the World Economic Forum and Gates Foundation simulation of a COVID pandemic, and that would be Event 201, which was held only 2 months before the real thing happened, they clearly expected COVID to do way more damage, predicting an initial death tally of 65 million. This never happened. It isn't even close. It's hard to say why an obvious bioweapon like COVID failed to do the job. Viruses tend to mutate rapidly in the wild and behave differently than they do in a lab setting. I would even consider the possibility of divine intervention. Whatever the reason, the globalists did not get what they wanted, and now they need yet another crisis to oil the gears of the reset machine, with the already tiny death rate of COVID now dropping even further with the Omicron variant and half the states of the U.S. in full defiance of vax mandates, it is only a matter of time before the rest of the world asks why they are still under medical authoritarianism. Don't forget, this article was written a couple of months before the Ukraine invasion by Russia, but they're amazingly prescient in what these folks are talking about. He says, war in Ukraine and the mere threat of that war expanding beyond the region could accomplish a number of things COVID has not. It provides an ongoing cover for the stagflationary collapse, which is now in full swing in the U.S., the supply chain problems that continue globally, as well as the destabilization of the European economy. In particular, the EU is strongly reliant on Russian natural gas, is what Josh was talking about earlier, Russian natural gas in order to heat homes and maintain its economy. Russia has strangled natural gas supplies to Europe in the past, and they will do it again. Russian oil exports also fill demand gaps globally, and these exports will be strangled by sanctions or by the Kremlin deliberately cutting supplies to certain nations. You know, it's hard to know whether Russia would have cut oil to us anyway, you know, but Brandon cut off Russian oil, and yet refuses to allow us to actually drill our own oil. That's a problem. That's why we did the show Monday talking about how the states can drill for oil anytime they want. They just kick out the feds. And constitutionally, they'd be on the right side for doing so. We spent 2 hours on that. So check Monday's show if you want to know how your state, especially a state out west, can kick out the feds, claim your land that was always state land the minute the state became a state, and start opening up oil and gas exploration on that land. All right, back to the article here. Here we go. War is always a distraction from economic sabotage. Even though the needs of financial crashes are often planted and watered well in advance by central banks, the banks never get the blame because international conflicts conveniently take center stage. By extension, economic crisis causes mass poverty, mass desperation, and mass hysteria. And globalists will say that these dangers require an international solution that they will happily provide in the form of centralization. In the U.S., and in many other Western nations, which have a large number of people still defending individual freedom, the globalists clearly want to use tensions with Russia as a means to silence public dissent, that would be us at Action Radio, over authoritarian policies, that would be Brandon. Already, I am seeing numerous instances of establishment officials and leftists on social media suggesting that liberty activists are, quote, pawns of the Russians. Yeah, we've heard that before, too. And we are being used to divide and conquer. This is nonsense, backed by nothing, but they are trying out the narrative anyway and see if it sticks. I have no doubt that any rebellion in the U.S. against the globalists will be blamed on foreign interference. So it'll be us here at Action Radio and a bunch of folks who think like us. That's where it's coming from. Anyway, as mentioned earlier, the last thing the elites want is movements of free people obstructing the reset in the name of liberty. And that's basically what we're dedicated to doing here, again, at Action Radio. Article says, we witnessed this in Canada where Trudeau announced unilaterally emergency powers against the trucker protests, giving himself totalitarian levels of control. Even the Russian government has intervened in such public actions to prevent any kind of activist momentum. Biden will try to do the same thing, and war, even a smaller regional war, gives him a rationale to oppress dissent in the name of public security. Interestingly, martial law in the U.S. is also much easier to legally and historically justify for the government as long as it is done in response to the invasion of a foreign country. The Russian influence narrative may very well be in preparation for martial law within America. Whether or not this actually succeeds is another matter. The consequences of a shooting event in Ukraine will be far-reaching, well beyond a distraction for the American public. My intent here is not to suggest only Americans will be affected. My point is that there are certain places in the world that are naturally resistant to the globalist scheme, and freedom-minded Americans are a primary obstacle. If there is a large-scale rebellion against the Great Reset, which I hope to lead, actually, it's going to start here. The globalists know this as well, which is why the U.S. will undoubtedly be centrally involved in the Ukraine quagmire. While the event would be disastrous for Ukrainians and probably many Russians, there are deeper and more dangerous underlying threats intended for the U.S., and a war in Ukraine acts as an effective scapegoat for many of them. I agree completely. I think this is absolutely right on. The whole thing about Ukraine, the engineering of this Ukraine, the battle, the conflict, the propaganda, you know, sucking Russia into this, and Brandon's goading them on, and the whole Western world saying, well, let's convert Eastern Europe to NATO. You know, they provoked this whole thing, and Russia's stupid enough to have taken the bait. you know. But then again, they might benefit
by keeping his character. That's a two-sided sword, my friend.
Which one?
The entire thing is we keep calling Putin crazy. He's not actually a crazy person.
No, I never said Putin was crazy. What I'm saying was Putin was kind of goaded into this. You know, and it's interesting, too, that China – remember when China, you know, took – we had our intelligence of what we saw Russia doing.
I know, but what was China's stance on this?
Well, let me just finish the point, though, I think Russia was kind of encouraged to do it by China. And because this is an experiment, all right? So nations do that. They experiment. They send up fighters and see how long it takes us to send up our fighters. You know, China's been testing Taiwan's defenses now for a few years. And so the same thing with you. First the Russians took Crimea, all right, and they did it during the Obama administration. Now they're moving in during the Brandon insurrection. You know, they didn't do it when Trump was there, you know, because it was a good reason. Things are much more organized.
He's a lunatic. You could never understand what that man might do next. Yes.
Which one,
God
Trump?
God bless that man. Yeah,
who,
dude,
Trump?
Nobody
yeah.
knew what that guy was going to do in response to anything. Yes.
Well, that's how we got that's how what Kissinger said to Vietnam, to North Vietnam with Nixon. I said, he's crazy, man. I don't know what he's doing. He might nuke you guys. He might do anything. You know, and look at him. He's under Watergate pressure. He's under strain. You know, you better get to the peace table fast. You know, and eventually what happened in Vietnam happened. But Trump, yeah. See, and that was the thing. That's what separated Trump from Brandon. No one is afraid of Brandon. Trump, you know, and see, Brandon.
Dude,
doesn't have the
I am not
milk.
Afraid of. I know that people are over there getting arrested and sentenced in long term nonsense for January 6th nonsense in Washington D.C. I'm over here just south of Chicago. I am inhaling and exhaling through my mouth, not giving a flying frick about what anybody in the federal government is doing at any given time. See, this entire country was supposed to be a tiny federal government, mostly state-run everything. And we flopped that entirely after World War II. Huge federal government, little itty-bitty federal, you know, I mean, little itty-bitty state-run things. I don't understand what we're doing anymore. I'm supposed to respect this administration. I don't think I have the capacity to do that. I inhale through my nose. I exhale through my mouth. There's nothing that's going to freaking make me care about what Joe Biden has to say about anything. I don't care. And if Donald Trump was in the freaking presidential seat, I don't care what he has to say either. I don't actually care what the federal government is doing. This is where we completely destroyed our entire country. I don't care what the federal government has to do with anything. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because they're forcing a situation on you. You know, the federal government, illegally occupied, is raising the price of gasoline over $5 a gallon. That steals your life. That steals your ability to travel freely at a reasonable price. That steals your ability to do all kinds of different things. That hurts your business. I mean, all those truckers, you know, they got to buy diesel. What's diesel going for? $4.75, $5.50? What's the price of diesel?
A lot.
Okay.
No, but they get compensated originally. Unless you're west of Texas, the chance of a trucker being hurt by the fuel costs is actually pretty rare.
So they can just pass the cost on to all their suppliers and things, and they just pay it?
Yeah. Are you freaking kidding me? They'll pay $3,000 to send something from freaking, like, Missouri to Texas. Yeah, they will pay the cost of the fuel.
Okay.
And that will come out of my commission.
How much fuel? How much is fuel a component of the cost? If you're bringing a load of
No. What they do is they estimate the fuel cost, which they always overindulge. And then, so the shipper will post X number. So say it's $3,500.
And then I have to deduct the fuel cost from it going from point A to point B. So say it's $500. Yeah. And then I get a percentage of that after everything is said and done. But I'm just saying, no, this is the – it's not messing with the truckers for the bigger brands with a good dispatcher. It's messing with the dispatchers. It's actually pissing off a lot of people. Dude, I don't understand what they actually hope to achieve by raising these gas prices the way that they're doing. All we have to do is raise the Keystone XL. All we have to do is open that again. We have to put people on that. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be 2 or 3 years of production. It's like, yeah, I'd rather suffer through this crap for 2 or 3 years and then eventually come out.
It's not 2 or 3. It's not. I looked up pipelines and a whole article on pipelines. I've studied.
For them to build it. For them to finish building it 2 or 3 years, and that would have to come out on the end of this, like, yeah, I'd rather pay $2 5 years from now, whatever you nonsensical monkeys are doing. And you're over there doing the Nord Stream 2. You're over there, you're literally funding the people you're trying to stop from invading another country. I don't understand this. It makes no sense. Nord Stream 2 is nonsense. You are literally killing people because you're funding Russian aggression against the Ukrainians. I don't know, man. I put my hands up in the air every time. This makes no sense to me. I wouldn't do this. You know, if I had a neighbor, I wouldn't buy him bullets to shoot somebody walking down the street. You know what I mean? Like, it makes no sense to me. I don't understand why we keep tolerating these people. And I know it's just a bunch of rich old people crossing numbers off on a piece of paper and then sliding a piece of paper across their desk. But we keep coming back to this. This is always the same thing. It's just old people that will never sacrifice themselves or their family. They're never going to step foot on the battlefield. Here we are again.
Well, yeah, you got a problem with the old attitudes in Washington. But it's not so much old people, because there's a lot of old people that believe in this country and believe in freedom and independence. You know, what you've got is a certain class of people. You've got a class of people in Washington that are above everybody else. They're in their bubble. And they're government privilege.
Hold on. Time out. That was a fair assessment until I say this. There was an old class that was supposed to be replenished by a younger, like 60, 50-year-old class that's supposed to be in the actual House of Representatives, supposed to be in the Senate. Yeah, no, they're not. You have old ass – I'm sorry, I'm not trying to curse. You have old butt Nancy Pelosi, who is pretty much a dinosaur. She was watching the meteor come down. She somehow survived by wrapping herself in a freaking raptor carcass. And then you have all these old people that destroyed everything, and they're still sitting in these respectable places, these places that make decisions for us. These are not for the people that are as old as them. They're supposed to be, you know, like filtered through. We're supposed to have younger people filling these positions, but San Francisco people are dumb, so they keep bringing Nancy Pelosi back. She's like 98 years old or something. I don't know. She's old.
She's old.
Nonsensical
person. But old isn't the problem. You know, she's still coherent. She's still got her faculties.
She's coherent?
Well, yeah, you listen. If you listen to her, and I listen to her at the press conferences, you know, what she says is pretty absurd and ridiculous. But the thing is, she's aware of what's going on. She's making absurd statements on purpose. You know, she's evil. Oh, she's evil, absolutely. Oh, yeah. So that's the problem.
Okay,
so
no, that's all it is.
Evil.
Either you're completely unaware of what's going on around you, and I can blame that on age at a certain extent,
or you're completely evil. Okay. No, okay. I'm sorry. Yes, sir. No, go on. I cannot believe these old people keep getting elected.
Don't key on the fact that they're
again.
Old. Because there are a lot of really bright old people. There are people in their 90s that are sharp as a tack. There are people in their 60s that are total morons. You know, so age has nothing to do with it. You've got to keep your brain in shape. You've got to keep active, got to keep exercising, keeping healthy, and your brain will stay with you, assuming, you know, you don't have a genetic predisposition to like Alzheimer's or something like that. Not to do that. But the thing is long, you know, but age is not the criteria here. The criteria is attitude. The criteria is she for freedom, independence, the Constitution, and our republic, or is she for her government class, her government privilege, her government elitism, and her friends in the bubble? And the answer is, she's for her friends in the bubble. And so they live for themselves. They are separate from us. They have created a coup, and they have tolerated it. They have taken away our government, and they are fine with it. This is both parties. So the folks from, you know, the Mike Pence, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, all of them, all the leaders in Congress, you know, even Kamala Harris, the illegal alien, all these different people, you know, have conspired to collectively think and say and live with a coup. And they're fine with it. And that's why they all need to be removed and arrested and thrown in jail.
Can I just toss a coin into that well?
Ooh, please do.
It's never been about the old versus the young, the rich versus the poor, or the black versus the white. It's always been about the people that have way more money than they'll ever spend in their life against you, the elite.
Well, it's not just money. There's a lot of rich people. I mean, Warren Buffett doesn't affect me in a bad way. He's filthy rich. But Bill Gates does.
Warren Buffett, who runs a bunch of companies. I'm not entirely concerned. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely concerned about their outside. I'm just saying there are people that are worth ridiculous amounts of money with influence that you and I will never have, my friend. And
well, I don't know. So let's see how big the show gets, first of all. But you take a look at this, and there's a difference between like a Donald Trump and a Michael Bloomberg, okay? It's a Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, okay? Michael Bloomberg and Donald Trump have a lot of money. One of them is basically a socialist who wants to take guns away and control the world with his empire. Another one is America First, who wants individual rights, who wants the best for this country, and wants us to progress ahead and, you know, raise everybody's chances by improving jobs and income and everything else. They're both rich.
Hold on. Suppressors or racist?
What's
I'm
that?
Sorry. No, go on. I said suppressors are racist. Never mind. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. So, but you look at rich people. Like I say, Warren Buffett owns Berkshire Hathaway. That's his investment company. They have real estate. They have other holdings. They do a bunch of different stuff. Warren Buffett's not a problem. Okay. Bill Gates, with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that owns this Purbright Institute in England, which patents coronaviruses, by the way, you know, is a sick puppy. He should not be listened to, you know, and so there's
a bunch of rich people. But hold on. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking
right.
about rich people just for being rich. I'm saying rich people that are virtue signaling. Like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
You are. It really depends on what kind of person you are. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. And you could, and I would love to see somebody use their money for something really good, like a new conservative media, a really activist conservative media organization that not only reported on stories, but reported on solutions, namely Action Radio bills, for one thing, you know, turning conservative journalists into conservative news advocates. We don't have that.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
so there's
fair.
A lot of
that's
things
a fair
that,
assessment.
Yeah. So where's the conservative billionaire? I mean, I guess Trump's trying to do it with True Social, but it's not happening. You know, I don't know why it doesn't happen. You know, so the answer is not to regulate Facebook. The thing is to outcompete them. But give us
one conservative platform that's not working, right?
No, I have no idea why. Why is it not working?
He's coming in. First of all, Facebook is terrible. A lot of people hate it. The only people that are still signing on to that stuff are people in like third world countries. There's nothing for like everyone's on TikTok and Instagram and all this other nonsense. But
Yeah, so he's trying to introduce a new product to people that are already tired. It's basically a reboot of Facebook or Gab. You know, it's the same. There's nothing new. So
It's just another conservative platform. It's like there's a bunch of conservative platforms and there's one leftist platform. Everybody's still on the leftist platform, even though we're all
being censored. There's like 10 different leftist platforms here. But no, because I'm saying it's impossible for that to work because he's doing the same thing as his competition. He's doing everything the exact same way as his competition. And there's no – I mean, yeah, you're not going to ban people. That's adorable. What the hell does it have to do with anybody that's already been on these platforms for years? People who build up – like, I'm just saying.
Hey, I got to hold you up. We're actually off the air. I didn't get my warnings because I'm calling in rather than, being able to use my microphone or headset like a normal radio person. So I got to talk to Blog Talk, figure out what happened, figure out why the first half hour of the show was totally why I had to call into my own show. Josh, thanks very much. Glad to have you part of the show today. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Our legislative site, writeyourlaws.com, WRITEYOUR. If you want to stop the noise. If you want to contribute to us, you can at givesendgo.com/actionradio. And I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock Central, 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific. And the rest of you folks, well, you'll just figure it out.